and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Is that cold weather making you feel good out there? Some of you might be saying, what cold weather? This isn't cold weather. Like Aubrey Kahn, he's sitting here with a short sleeve shirt on. T-shirt, nonetheless. I got three shirts on.
See, that's what happens when you're so skinny. You got no protection, buddy. You need to put on some weight.
And grew up in Florida. I mean, my blood is as thin as water. Welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries, where luckily my skin is a lot thicker than that. And we are here live for our Sunday evening three-hour classic tour. And we're coming to you on FM 105.5, of course, and AM 660, of course. And because it's Sunday night, we're also coming to you on 1520 WBZW.
And you can get us on your favorite Android or Apple phone.
That's right. All you got to do is download the AM 660 The Answer free app at your app store. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. Jeff Sinis is once again on the bridge.
How you doing?
How you doing? And how you folks doing tonight? Hope you're doing well. We got do have a lot to talk about. Of course, the Iran sanctions have been lifted officially now. And we got some prisoners. And, oh, boy, a lot involved in all of that. I saw the movie 13 Hours last night. I'm going to spend some time talking about that. And and we're going to talk some politics tonight. Did you know that the final Democratic debate is going to be tonight? And that is on NBC at 9 o'clock. So we'll see if anybody watches that.
My Biden and Bill Clinton should be about it.
That should be about it, that's for sure. And so we'll talk some politics on the Democrat side and some politics on the Republican side. And you'll want to keep that phone close by for our Who Said That contest, which tonight is going to be actually a Who Was That contest. And this one, some of you might find easy, some of you might find challenging. We shall see. And Sunny, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling, is going to be joining us later on in the show as well. And so sit back and enjoy the next 3 hours with the American Adversaries. If you want to watch the football game, just crank the sound down on that, crank the sound up on us, and you'll have the best of all possible worlds.
And your spouse won't realize that you're cheering because of what we're saying. It might be a bit out of sync, but if you're wearing headphones, you're okay.
That's right. You'll be fine and dandy. Okay, of course, that is Aubrey Kahn, and if you were listening to his show yesterday, you got some great information. You guys were talking about fires.
Yes.
On the Talk to the Experts show. Even a small fire now, I understand, can cause a good deal of damage because of the smoke.
Right. Grease fires, the smoke gets in everywhere. You can never get rid of the smell. So you're basically going to be pulling down all the drywall, all the ceilings, new carpets, new flooring if you've got, wood or
Well, one of the main things I learned is if you have any kind of an incident like that, you need to get your adjuster in there, right?
Get a public adjuster, one that represents you against the insurance company.
Right.
The insurance company's adjuster is there to save the insurance company money, but the public adjuster works for you. And a good public adjuster will calculate everything down to the last paper towel. So they'll get you the money that you need to get the place fixed up the way it should be.
All right. That's the sort of stuff you find out about every Saturday afternoon live at 1 o'clock, the Talk to the Experts show. And that show goes live from 1 to 3. And then, of course, you have the Armed American Radio guys from 3 to 5.
And, boy, can those guys eat.
We know. Mike won our pizza eating contest. He could pack it away, that's for
boy,
sure.
Oh boy, they could pack it away.
All right. Okay, so let's get to the quote-unquote breaking news, which is actually kind of old news now in a news cycle. But the Iranian sanctions were lifted. And coincidentally, of course, we had this little incident the other day where the Iranians tweaked our noses with the 10 American sailors. And then, in addition to the Iranian sanctions being lifted, lo and behold, there has been a prisoner swap, a 7-for-5 prisoner swap. They get 7, we get 5. Sounds kind of like about a Barack Obama deal, doesn't it?
Well, it's better than his normal deals. Normally, they'd get 7, we'd get 0.
And actually, it's a little bit sweeter deal than that for the Iranians, because we had warrants out on an additional, I think, 12 or 14, which those warrants are now being nullified, done away with.
Isn't that
trashed.
Wild. Right. He's so magnanimous, isn't he?
So let's just say they get around 20 and we get 5. And by the way, did you say 5? Did Robert Levinson, the missing CIA agent, finally turn up and get sent back? No.
No.
He's not one of them. The fifth was a young fella, about 24 years old, who went over there evidently on a language studies program. And he got picked up by the Iranian authorities about a month and a half ago. And that didn't make the news because supposedly everybody knew, or at least enough people knew, that these negotiations were going on, so that nobody wanted to rock the boat. Obviously, this was all timed with the lifting of the sanctions. Once again, we'd like to make the world. What was that old Coca-Cola commercial? You remember? We like to make the world to sing in perfect harmony. Well, we like the world to buy a Coke.
Yes.
And keep it company. Well, yeah, this is the world's in harmony now, you see. The Iranian deal, you see all? Now it's really paying off, right?
Yes,
and that's the storyline.
We'd never been able to do it if we hadn't softened our stance against them.
Right. And that is this pitch. That's the storyline. That's the scripted storyline. And, of course, the liberal elite and media are going to, buy right into it. Oh, we're all in harmony now with the Iranians. Now, they'll say, oh, well, no, that's not really what we meant. But it is indeed what they mean.
Of course it is. We can all stand together now, right. Hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
Right. And the incident the other day was also meant to highlight this.
Oh, that was totally staged.
Indeed. And I would not put it past our government to have staged it along with their government.
Of course it was.
Right. In order to once again demonstrate how things have changed thanks to the wonderful Barack Obama nuclear deal with Iran.
That's right.
Oh, see? If just those mean old wascally Republicans would just get out of the way and let him have his way with the world, we'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony.
See, isn't détente wonderful?
We'd like to buy the world a Coke. And keep it company. That's the way these morons are thinking, you see. And this is, of course, staged, ludicrous, stagecraft. They would call it statecraft, but around here, I guess, stagecraft is more appropriate, right?
I would think so.
Yeah, so
he shouldn't go and live in Hawaii. He should go to Hollywood.
Yeah, and so on the one hand, of course, we're glad that these hostages were released.
Oh, of course.
The problem is, because of the stagecraft, they had to wait till today, right? Well, so a few more days, a few more weeks, a few more months, a year or two more in prison. For the sake of the Iranian nuclear deal and new relations between great nations. Well, I'm sorry, but we're just going to have to do that.
And you're missing one other thing.
What's that?
The biggest thing.
Yeah.
Obama's legacy.
Obama's legacy.
All right. He didn't quite make much of a legacy with Bo Bergdahl.
Yeah.
So he had to try again.
Yeah, he had to try again. And
if at first you don't succeed.
Yeah, well, Obama's legacy is... let's just say he's putting it in place right under our noses and nobody's talking about it. So we're going to talk about it.
Well, it stinks. It's like crapping under your nose.
Well, that's, you know, there's this legacy that we see, and then there's the legacy that we don't see. I got an email today from Ray, and it reminded me of a story that I had seen on our tip sheet a while back, where Loretta Lynch and along with the Obama administration were saying that they were going to be putting in place measures at the Justice Department to make it impossible for the next president to undo these Justice Department decisions that have been made
and as executive orders, right?
Right.
They were going to interweave it right into the people that work there so that it cannot be undone.
All right.
Yes, I remember that.
All right. The operative phrase there was the people that work there. What they're doing is they're putting their left-wing stooges in key positions, not just in the Justice Department, but the IRS. People like Lois Lerner, mm-hmm. they are still putting in crucial positions in the IRS. And these are career positions, and these are in critical places in the agencies, right? And they're putting their stooges in all of the EPA, IRS, Justice
FBI,
Department,
CIA, everywhere.
You know it. And the payoff is going to be, at least the thinking is, the next president, if they try to upset the apple cart by replacing these people, especially in mass, there will be a huge outcry. Oh, you're being racist, you're being a homophobe, you're being an Islamophobe, because many of these positions are being filled by gays, Muslims,
right,
and just,
other
just
minorities.
Your average garden variety liberal gang, right? And they will be there to ensure that his legacy is much more difficult to unravel for the next president or two or three or however many. And sometimes the chickens still do come home to roost. We'll talk more about that on the other side. But we'll be paying a bit more attention to that. And as the campaign rolls around and rolls on, we'll see if some of these candidates begin to address that part of the issue. Because one thing that Donald Trump does not tolerate is incompetence. Now, if these people could be seen to be incompetent, he might be the only one to be willing enough to fire them. Perhaps Ted Cruz, too.
That'd be interesting, because we'd have no one left in the FBI, no one left in the CIA, no one left in the IRS, no one left at DHS.
We finally have the appropriate sized government.
Right.
When we come back, I'm going to talk about the president's speech today and how it reminded me of a similar speech I saw in the movie 13 Hours last night by Ambassador passed away Christopher Stevens, murdered, tortured,
yes,
and killed, while people in Washington sat by with their thumbs up their butts
and did nothing.
This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries, tough guy.
Hi, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, that's our dear friend Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who just celebrated a birthday this past week. So happy birthday to our dear friend Hacksaw. All right, I'm going to talk about the movie 13 Hours in some detail. So if you haven't seen the movie and you're worried that I'm going to spoil it for you, well, if you continue to listen to the show for the next half hour, I might spoil it for you. I seldom ask people to tune me out, but if you'd rather see the movie and not know of certain details about it, well, then tune me out right now, because I'm going to talk about the movie, as I said, in a bit of detail. Saw it last night over here in Altamont Springs at the Altamont Mall, and the theater is about three-quarters full. Be honest with you, I thought it'd be full, but there was three-quarters full, I would say. And the audience applauded at the end. The movie is intense, and it's action-packed. I mean, if you want an action-packed thriller that's actually based in truth, this is it. I mean, from the very start of the movie, it's intense. And it depicts the situation over there as being obviously extremely dangerous. And the movie's very well done, by the way, and very well acted. And don't ask me who's in it, because I'm not very good with actors and actresses anyway. I can probably name as many as I could name, I can, you know, number on one hand, or I can count them on one hand. So, but it's very well done, very well acted, and as we learned from the three of, and there were more of the special operators involved in the mission to protect the annex, the CIA annex there, which, as you find out in the movie, is kind of like Area 51. You know, the CIA annex officially did not exist.
Right.
Right? And this is the way they do business. And when these annexes are set up around the world, they officially do not exist. And they were there, at least we found out, at least one purpose other than, well, all, obviously to collect intelligence, but also to buy back weapons that not just we had provided, but also part of the problem when Gaddafi was murdered, and his regime overthrown, is that all of the military assets that he had stockpiled now became available to all the bad guys. And they got them. And you're talking sophisticated ground-to-air missiles, which can, of course, bring down airliners. You're talking about rocket-propelled grenades. You're talking about mortars. You're talking about all kinds of small arms. You're talking about all the weapons that a terrorist group would desire. All right? And so they were there because we had disrupted things there and allowed the government to fall and the nation to fall into chaos, which is what we did, thanks to the policies of Hillary Clinton and Hussein Obama. The result was, now you had all of these weapons in the hands of the bad guys. And so we were there trying to sweep them up. And it was very obviously extremely dangerous work. And in the middle of this, you have this consulate where the ambassador came to visit. And they knew it was 9/11, the anniversary, so they kept his schedule very limited. And it didn't really go into his visit that day with the Turkish ambassador, who left about an hour before the attack actually began. It actually kind of showed him just lounging around. Once again, if I'm getting into too much detail, tune me out, okay? Because I need to talk about this. This, and you need to see this movie, whether you've seen it or not. And you hear me talking about it or not, please see this movie. And more importantly, try one way or another to get your liberal friends to see this movie. It's very important. The attack began that evening on the 11th, and I'd say about two-thirds of the movie is about the 13 hours. And one third of the movie is sort of the lead up to it, and you get to meet the various characters. We find out that Tyrone Woods, who goes by the nickname Roan, they all have their own nicknames. Roan was the leader of the security forces, and they were hired by a Blackwater and provided to the CIA. And it became obvious in the movie that the CIA resented them being there. They thought that they knew everything, that they were all Harvard educated and Harvard and Yale and so they were a bunch of know-it-alls, right? And the security forces were just kind of getting in the way. And here the security forces don't even know who the good guys and the bad guys are from one to the next. Right? And they got these little, they got like a hand signal. Like if you know anything about sign language, do you know the sign for love?
Okay, yeah.
I'm showing it to Aubrey. If you make a fist and then lift out your thumb and your little finger and kind of wave it a little bit, you know, kind of like sort of like the Texas Longhorns thing, all right? If you do that, that's the signal for love. Well, that in the movie was the signal if you knew if a guy was a good guy or a bad guy, right? I mean, and they could be walking down the street and, you know, the so-called civilian can be the Al-Qaeda or the Al-Shabaab or the whatever various group that's there. And the attack, when it began, the people at the annex could see and hear what was going on immediately. And the attack involved rocket-propelled grenades as well as small arms fire. And there were two security men at the consulate with the ambassador. Two. All right. Now, prior to the ambassador arriving that day, the security detail from the CIA annex went over and kind of did a little site inspection and offered a little advice and basically said, if you guys get attacked, you're all going to get killed, is basically what it told them. And they said, call us if you get in trouble, though. But it wasn't their job, actually, to protect the ambassador. And the whole idea was, we don't want a big footprint over there, right? And they had hired locals to be their security, and the locals were at the gates, and it was up to the locals to decide who got into the compound and not, right? They were the gatekeepers.
Right.
Right? And when they left the gate open. And they ran off, and they ran off before the attack began. The attack began, and as I said, it went off for 13 hours. Now, I want to back up just a little bit because I want to tie this into something the president was doing today. Because this morning, he gave us the same sort of speech that Ambassador Chris Stevens is depicted in the movie as giving the CIA people and the State Department people, the little sort of cheerleading speech he gives them when he arrives. You know, he's all cheerful. I see this as a great opportunity. You know, this is a turn in history where we can take advantage of this, make it work for us, and really do great things, right? But what did we just hear from the president today, in essence? The same damn thing. Same damn thing, you see? And see, the thing that the ambassador didn't get, and the thing that this president either doesn't get or doesn't care about, is that the other side is not at all interested in being our friend.
No, they're not. They never have been.
No. And that's the bottom line here.
They're using us.
They are using us.
And, of course, our president is going along with it because he will defend them no matter what.
Well, in the end, it got Ambassador Christopher Stevens killed. All right. Now, let's examine again the environment that he lived in. It was an environment where you didn't know who the good guys and the bad guys were, right? The bad guys had access to a lot of nasty things, right? And the bad guys were dead set on killing people, right? Can you name any nation in the world today where that does not exist, except perhaps Japan and one or two others? Right? Because in this nation,
we have Muslims who want to kill us.
And you don't know who the good ones are or who the bad ones are. Right?
Not until something happens.
Not until something happens. And even after that, you can't be sure.
But you always know who the bad guy is then.
Well, he's the only one that reveals himself.
Right.
All right, but he only reveals himself in his own time, you see? And so we're getting...
But background checks.
So we live in a world that is a macrocosm of what Benghazi was in a microcosm. In other words, and if you look outside the borders of the United States, we don't know who our friends and our foes are. Is Saudi Arabia our friend?
No, but we know that.
Well, but a lot of people would say they are. And at first blush, a lot of people say, well, they're helping us out fighting Iran. They don't like Iran. They sell us oil. Yeah, right, uh-huh. They let us use their bases, and when we fought Iraq...
Yeah, put a knife in our back at the first opportunity.
Yeah, they let us use their bases when we fought Iraq, as long as we didn't take out Saddam Hussein. I'm talking about the first Persian Gulf War. That was the deal that Cheney made with the Saudi Arabians, was you let us use your facilities, which are some of the finest Air Force bases in the world, if not the finest. I mean, those things can turn around a bomber in no time at all. It's like a NASCAR pit stop. That thing lands, it rolls up, gets refueled, rolls up a little further, gets rearmed, and it's off.
Right.
And if you have to change a pilot, you can do it while it's being refueled. So... to get back to this, though, the same cheerful speech we get from the president. So obviously he's not going to have the same fate as Ambassador Stevens. that would be too much. That would be too much to ask for. But he is definitely guaranteeing that others will befall that fate. Others will definitely befall that fate because of this moron. And you know, so to get back to the movie, though, one of the most infuriating things about the movie is, of course, the fact that these guys that went over, these five contracted security for CIA, they were the only ones to go over. There was never any help to come. What scant little help finally arrived the next morning at, you know, the 13th hour, right? And that was the security detail from the embassy in Tripoli. And it took them so long to get there because they didn't have any ride. they rounded up a oil executive, loaned them his jet, and they took that to the Benghazi airport, where then they needed to procure a ride from the airport to the CIA annex, which they didn't know where it was because officially, like Area 51, it didn't exist. We're going to talk more about this on the other side. So once again, if you haven't seen the movie and I'm spoiling it for you, I warned you. We'll spoil it some more when we come back because it's important we talk about this and understand what we're doing and what we're up against. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Sunday. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. Carl Jackson won't be with us tonight, unfortunately. He had a family emergency that he had to take care of, some family up in Ohio, I think it is. Right. And so he's taking care of that this weekend. But he'll be back with us next Sunday. Just keep his family and he in your prayers. And, of course, keep him always in your prayers. He's doing great things and going to go big places, Carl Jackson will. We were just talking about the movie 13 Hours, how the president's speech today about how wonderful things are with diplomacy working out with Iran. Just look how what great things you can do with diplomacy and, you know, this release of these prisoner swap. It was not a release of the prisoners. We gave them seven. Essentially, they were terrorists. They were people being held because they, quote unquote, violated the sanctions. So, and then we also dropped about 14 warrants against additional people that we were trying to arrest for similar charges. So the prisoner swap today, you know, was right in line with the lifting of the sanctions because of the Iranian nuclear deal. And lo and behold, the president was also able to say, but we're reimposing sanctions due to the missile tests in October and November. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. So are they going to be sanctions that do anything? Or were the sanctions that actually did anything were the ones that we just lifted because the Iranians were being such great guys?
He'll probably impose sanctions on ourselves instead of the Iranians. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, I would not doubt it. But the sanctions have been lifted. Now the Iranians are complaining that, yeah, you say we get $140 billion, but actually only $40 billion of that is liquid. So in other words, only $40 billion can they spend today. The other $100 billion...
They can spend tomorrow.
Well, it'll take them a day or two to liquidate it or do whatever they're going to do to get access to it. Don't believe that ruse. And then, of course, the other thing is part of the sanctions was they couldn't trade oil on the market. Right? Now, they were doing some black market trading of their oil, but that was at a really reduced price and it was a really reduced quantity. Now they can pump as much as they want and get the market price for it, which is why the Saudi Arabians are pumping oil like mad to try to prevent Iran from getting market share. But it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time, especially now since they virtually control Iraq, which, as Donald Trump says quite so often, has the second largest oil reserves in the world, known reserves, according to Saudi Arabia. And, of course, if you include oil shales and things like that, it might be third if you include the United States in that equation. But if you're just talking about pooled up oil, it's massive reserves now that Iran controls. So the economic impact is going to be significant, let's just say that, in the area. And it's going to be sudden significant because the lifting of the sanctions is done. It's over.
It's over.
Right. And there will be no snapback. If there was going to be a snapback, you would have done it when they launched those missiles. Right? You would have said, okay, deal's off, bozos.
Well, you've got to remember, our president is very good at drawing red lines.
Yeah, that's about all he's good at doing with them, though.
One right. after the other.
Right. So we're dealing in a world where people are out to kill us, and we're trying to play nice to them. And that's what got the ambassador killed. And unfortunately, it was a horrific death for him. They don't go into a lot of details. They do show the ambassador and Sean Smith, who was a geek. And I don't mean that in any insulting way. He was a computer geek. That's why he was there, to take care of audio-visual things, security cameras and playing everything from security cameras to playing games, right? And so he was just, you know, he was just your average everyday nerd and got caught up in all this because of the lack of the real need for security around there. And
there's no way you can put security there if you've lost $6 billion. And you don't know where the hell you've put it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Hillary lost $6 billion out of their budget.
Oh, well, it probably went into the foundation.
Well, that's why they can't find it.
Or went into countries that then turned around and gave a piece of it to the foundation. There is one mention in the movie, yeah, that part of their security is because Washington won't budget it. But the Congress had budgeted plenty of money. It just wasn't being utilized. It wasn't being spent. And when the attack began, as I said, the security detail at the CIA annex immediately, they were getting calls. Come on over. We need you. Just like they had told them earlier, if you get in trouble, give us a call. Well, they were calling. Yeah, hey, we're in trouble. Come on over. All right. And there was a so-called safe room, but the safe room was not safe from smoke. So when the smoke came in the safe room, the ambassador had to go out, and that's when he got lost in the sauce, so to speak. But anyway, the CIA team, the security team was held up by the security station chief. Now, the station chief since did get a medal. Yeah, he got a like a valetorious medal for his role in the whole incident. But he was an arrogant. He was depicted as an arrogant sort of wuss, and he has since come out and in an interview with the Washington Post. And by the way, because he was a station chief and undercover, he still maintains his cover. So he has agreed only to be known as Bob. But Bob has come out and said he was depicted wrongly because at one point in the movie, Tyrone Woods is standing there. He's got his full detail ready to go, the five of them. They're ready to hit the annex and try to save everybody over there. And the station chief is holding them up. I mean, they got the vehicles ready to go. They got their translator ready to go. And they're waiting. And at one point in the movie, Woods goes, you know, come on, you got to make a decision. He says, stand down. And according to Bob, the real station chief in the Washington Post, he didn't actually say that. Now, according to two of the other operators, they say that they overheard him say that. And according to the movie, he said it directly to Tyrone Woods, who will never know because, of course, he was killed. He was one of the four killed. He, along with Glenn Doherty, were the two CIA operators. They were the special forces guys that were hired by the contractor who were killed. And all along as this is proceeding, you get the camera cuts to the view from above, which is what the drone is seeing. And the drone was watching this real time. They knew what was going on back in the Pentagon. You see scenes depicted where fighter jets are being scrambled, I believe in Italy. You see special operators, special forces like Rangers or Marines in regular military equipment loaded on a helicopter, sitting on a tarmac, waiting, and never getting the go-ahead. And while the Pentagon is, you know, offering assistance, The people at the CIA annex now are also asking for assistance, knowing that once they get done over at the consulate, they're going to come over to the annex. Because even though we didn't know the annex existed, right, the locals knew what it was, right? Because they had locals, guess what, protecting around the annex too. So this was just a horrible situation that we put these people in. And then the worst part of all is that we left them and did nothing while this all played out.
See, Hillary didn't have the red phone, so she couldn't answer it at 3 a.m.
Well, at some point in the movie, we're told very briefly, and they don't go into, you know, where was Hillary or where was Barack. You just, in one brief little 5-second, at certain time, POTUS was briefed. POTUS being President of the United States.
Right.
So he was briefed early on what was happening. And, of course, the excuse all along has been, well, there's no way we could have gotten anyone there in 13 hours.
There was people less than 2 hours away.
And there indeed. But, in fact, we were told this past week by former CIA director, hold on, I got it written right here. Let's see, General Petraeus. General Petraeus, also CIA director, I believe it was Leon Panetta.
Panetta, yeah.
Yep. Who actually was the Secretary of Defense at that time. Right? He had been CIA director, was replaced by Panetta. He became Secretary of Defense. So they were two of the key players at the time. They told the Senate panel this week, in response to a question by Marco Rubio, that there's no way we could have gotten any assets there in 13 hours.
That's horse pucky.
Of course it is. So what we now know is that General Petraeus, I hate to say it, but it sounds like
Hillary
got it right when she called him General Betrayus.
Yep. He became another Obama stooge, like Panetta.
He not only betrayed us, but he betrayed his own people. The security guys weren't really CIA. They were hired hands. But if it had not been for them, the CIA people would have been killed as well.
Yeah.
I'll go into a few more details about the movie. But once again, if you haven't seen it, there's a lot more to it than that. I've given you a big piece of it, but there's a lot. You kind of already knew the story, but still, there's a lot more to it. But I just want to put a sort of an exclamation point on this on the other side. So please stay with us.
Hi, this is Roxy Astor from GLOW, one of the Park Avenue knockouts. When I'm not shopping or getting my nails done, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, WORL. These guys are the best when it comes to political professional wrestling. I'd step in the ring any day with these guys, but of course I'd win.
All right, welcome back. Once again, I am Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn. Normally, Carl Jackson will be joining us. He'll be back next week. But once again, keep him and his family in your prayers. They had a family issue up in Ohio. All right, I've been talking about the movie 13 Hours, and in essence, it comes down to this. We had a number of people there, including the ambassador, who, even though they knew that there was a great deal of security risk there, were sort of drunk on good feelings of we have an opportunity here to do great things. At least that's the way it was depicted in the movie. And as I asked the operators that we talked to the other day on the show, Chris Tonto, Peronto, John Tig, Tiggin, and Mark Oz, Geist, could State Department have been up to something that they didn't know anything about over at the CIA, or at least the intelligence, the security guys. And they said, oh, yeah, that definitely could have been going on. But for whatever reason, there was a great optimism where optimism was not called for. There was not enough concern where concern was called for. And the result was definitely a tragedy. But once again, the worst, and what you should really, if you see this movie, I hope you take away from it, is the fact that there was never any help that came. And right up to the very end, when the security team from Tripoli arrived and finally made their way into the CIA annex and took everybody out with the help of the local what local authorities there were. They got to the airport and had to use the oil executive's jet to get at least part of the people out, those who were wounded, and some of them were seriously wounded. As a matter of fact, Mark Oz Geist, it was a horrific wound to his arm, which evidently took about three surgeries for him to get it to where he has now, actually has use of his hand. But the jet wouldn't hold them all, so the rest of the security detail and a few others had to wait behind. And lo and behold, it was a Libyan transport airplane that finally showed up to take them back to Tripoli and to catch a flight back out. So the American, you know, the cavalry never came. The cavalry never came. Never. And contrary to what was lied to the Senate committee about this week, where General Petraeus, of all people, sat there and said that there was no way we could get assets there in 13 hours, as though they knew that after 13 hours this was going to be over. I mean, in the movie, they thought when the security detail from Tripoli was arriving, they once again, you don't know who are the good guys or the bad guys. So they were there looking at it thinking, oh, my God, because each time they would come back, they attacked the consulate, and then they attacked the annex, and they attacked the annex a couple of times, and each time they would change their tactics and up the ante, so to speak. So they were fearful that they were coming back this time and had upped the ante again and had brought back weapons, and they were all going to die. And it wasn't until they did the little love signal that they realized, and they saw the Americans, that they were actually friendlies. So that there was no way in hell, no way in hell, unless you were a part of the planning of the operation. Now, I guess maybe we now have to consider that, that these people who somehow knew that it would be over in 13 hours, and by the way, we now know assets could have been there in quicker than 13. A B-52 can fly from the United States to Syria in 7 hours. A B-52.
But we had people in Turkey.
We had an aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean Sea. We had assets in Italy that it's their job to be there
in case of a
situation like this.
And we had allies in Israel.
And the Pentagon had those assets ready to go. And the president didn't pull the trigger. Now, Secretary of State's implicated in this as well. But at the end of the day, this falls at the feet of the president. And one thing that I hope you don't take away from this movie is that Bob is the bad guy. Okay, now Bob was an arrogant wuss, overeducated doofus, right? And he got him a medal for being an overeducated doofus. But Bob wasn't the real problem. Bob was just a symptom of the real problem. The symptom of the real problem was the educated doofuses we got in the White House and now in the CIA and a few of them in the Pentagon as well. And they're littered all over the doggone government. And they're planting them in there every day. And it literally is planting them because they'll put down roots and they won't go away. Unfortunately, it's like planting crabgrass. It's not like planting anything worthwhile, right? And the crabgrass always squeezes out that which you really want. And so the real culprit in this movie is Barack Obama because the assets were ready. The call never came from the White House. Hillary Clinton couldn't be reached. So she was a huge problem too. But at the end of the day, she would have had to go to the White House to get final approval, evidently. But so the whole moral of the story is don't work for the Obama administration. And I hate to make light of this, but it's because you're expendable. And that means we are expendable. You see, this is the dangerous, the true danger of the liberal mindset. And that is that, well, in order to get the perfect world, some people are just going to have to get hurt. And some people might end up having to die. But that's, unfortunately, the price we have to pay because we want a better world for our children, right? Right? Don't you want a better world for your children? Well, unfortunately, this is the way it has to be done. You know, the peculiar thing is, once again, if the tables were flipped, if this had been George W. Bush had been president and did not send the assets, don't you know that the question that would have been screamed at the top of their shrill voices over and over and over again, why were you? Why didn't you do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Where were you? Why didn't you do anything? And the best the White House can come up with is that Barack Hussein, that's Barry, Barack Barry Satoru Hussein Obama, or Obama, if you're from Alabama. I never met anybody from Alabama. Have you ever met anybody from Alabama?
From Bama? Yes, but Obama?
I've never met anybody from Alabama. So, but I've met people from Alabama. But what was I saying about that doofus anyway? That
his competence levels.
Oh, my
and
God.
And how?
Yeah, well, the...
But nothing's ever his fault.
No, of course, it can't be his fault. No. The best the White House can come up with as to what he was doing that night was that he was playing cards with Reginald Love in the game room of the personal quarters of the White House.
So he was not to be disturbed.
Evidently, it was too important to play cards with Reginald Love. One must wonder if they were playing strip poker and playing around with one another.
No, that was Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's just disgusting. Yeah, I was enraged after the movie last night. I had to sit there for a couple of minutes and kind of just, because it just, nothing was done when everything could have been done. But of course, it would have probably spoiled Barack Hussein Obama's bid to be president. Like I said, that's the liberal mindset. Well, poor old Chris Stevens, sorry about all that. Really didn't want that to happen, but we're not about to do anything, you know. And, you know, so this has got to be a difference maker in this election. It has got to be a difference maker. They didn't do anything then. Are we not going to do anything now? They didn't do anything then, but are we not going to do anything now? If you haven't seen this movie, you need to make an effort to see this movie in the theaters. Now, I very rarely do this, but this is important. That this movie gets a great deal of support while it's in the theaters. And then when this doggone thing comes out on DVDs, if you can afford it, get one. Get many of them and hand them out. And challenge people to watch it. Challenge them. Challenge them to watch it. Don't sit and do nothing. Don't sit and do nothing. Because if we do, guess what's going to happen?
Hello, Hillary.
The same thing over again.
Yeah.
The same thing over again. And by the way, once again, the liberals don't have a monopoly on doofistry. Showtime has been running a free weekend with Showtime. I get AT&T UVerse, but I get the basic package. All I need is the news channels, history channels, and ESPN, and I'm a happy dog, right? I'm as happy as a dog with a tick. But dog always needs something to scratch, right?
So did Bill Clinton.
Showtime has done what I think is actually a pretty exceptional documentary called Spy Masters. And it's a sit-down interview-type documentary with all of the living prior CIA chiefs who are known as the Spy Master. I mean, they're the head spook, as George H.W. Bush right. used to call himself when he was. And by the way, he's on there, too, when he was the CIA chief. And in this movie, we see where the Bush administration could have done more. They could have done more to disrupt the Al-Qaeda network prior to 9/11. And it was just not a priority. And I think they fell into the boy who cried wolf syndrome, because pretty much since day one, they were being inundated with information about terrorist threats. So when in the summer of 2001, the CIA had determined that there was going to be something, it was going to be big, and it was going to be in the United States, they took it immediately to Condoleezza Rice. The analyst took it immediately to the CIA director. He, that George Tenet, he and the analyst took it immediately to the White House, Condoleezza Rice. And Condoleezza Rice now doesn't recollect the meeting, and her excuse is because every day they were hearing about terrorism. So once again, maybe it was the boy who cried wolf syndrome. I mean, when the wolf finally came, you weren't listening. And when the wolf finally came, they didn't get eaten up. You know, 3,000 people in New York and other parts of the country got killed. But it was because they weren't really paying attention to what was going on. They weren't really paying attention to what was going on. And that's what gets you in trouble. When you're not really paying attention to what's going on around you that can affect you in a negative way, especially in a world as dangerous as our own. And when 9/11 did happen, then, of course, everybody wanted to go after bin Laden and get him. And I'll say this, to the credit of Sandy Berger, who Rush Limbaugh calls Sandy Burglar, because he's the one who got lost, caught lifting some documents out of the, was it Library of Congress or somewhere?
Right, in his trench coat.
Yes, right, and socks and underwear and everywhere he could stuff them, right?
gifted amateur.
One thing that he did do prior to the end of the Clinton administration was he had the CIA draw up a plan that if you got everything you wanted, you know, to get bin Laden, the approval, the assets, the money, draw up a plan, tell us what you need.
Get
all
it
right.
Done.
And, well, and then, of course, he took it to the White House, and they wouldn't do it. That ended up being the plan that the Bush administration used in Afghanistan, which was the CIA went on the ground first with assets and a lot of money, and they made deals with the locals and basically used the local army to run out the Taliban. Unfortunately, they ran off bin Laden in the process and lost him. So, 13 hours. You've got to see it, folks. Please, I'm begging you, see it and get others to see it as well. And I'm begging you not to go away, because we got two more hours of the American Adversaries. We're going to talk some politics when we come back. It's getting juicy now.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know any of the people that tuned out, give them a call. Tell them they can tune in again. It's safe. We have made sure of that. Chris has promised he's not going to talk about it anymore on this program tonight.
Least, at least not as in depth. We may refer to
all
it.
All right. Well, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine just this morning, and I said to him, I hear that the FBI had foiled a terrorist plot to kill Donald Trump. And he's an avid news watcher, so he said, I haven't seen that. What was it? Was it a suicide bomber? To which I said, no, a surface-to-air missile.
Surface-to-air missile. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, yeah, let's talk a little politics. That is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Don't forget, if you need your house inspected as you're buying a house to live in or as an investment for a rental property or a commercial property, you need to get Aubrey Kahn to inspect that thing for you. Make sure you're not buying a lemon, so to speak. And if you're selling a property, you'll want to know what you're selling so you can get the best price for it. And that'd be where Aubrey Kahn comes in. That's OrlandosHomeInspector.com, OrlandosHomeInspector.com, or 321-624-0254, right?
Right.
321-624-0254. All right. The Iowa caucuses are 2 weeks from tomorrow. The final Democratic debate is tonight. There'll be one more Republican debate before the caucuses. There'll be more Republican debates, but it's the way it stands right now. Tonight is the last debate for the Democrats. And as I told you the other day on the show, there's actually already absentee ballots going out and being voted on in Georgia. So the voting officially has begun. Now, the race is getting more interesting. We'll start off, why don't we start off talking a little bit about the Democrats. There's new polling out. And, of course, the polls, there's so many of them, they can be all over the place. So what Real Clear Politics tries to do is they take averages of a number of the polls. And on the Democrat side, on a national average, Hillary is leading Bernie Sanders by 48 to 39. That sounds big, but it's way down from where she was barely a month ago. She's down about 10 points. She was up around 60 before, and Bernie was down around 30. That's nationally. In Iowa, it's much closer. Hillary, 46, Bernie, 42. And that is virtually within the margin of error. And in New Hampshire, and by the way, once again, she is way down in that poll from a month ago. In New Hampshire, it is Bernie 48, Hillary 42, which is pretty steady as to where he's been in the Real Clear Politics average. Like I said, you can find some polls that show much, you know, greater variances in the differences. Shall we say, campaign wisdom going around right now is that Bernie Sanders is definitely closing the gap in Iowa and holding steady in New Hampshire, and that this has the Hillary Clinton campaign panicked. Perhaps a little bit of concern, but unless Bernie wins really big in both of those states, which is probably not likely, but unless he wins really big, it's not going to play for Bernie in the South.
Shades of Obama.
Exactly. I mean, in sort of in reverse, because you're saying Bernie is shades of Obama?
Yeah. Look what happened. No one expected Obama to beat Hillary.
Yeah, but see, the difference with Obama is Obama could count on votes in the South. All right. He could count on a lot of black votes in the South, right?
True.
All right, and that's what he carried the Southern states with. He dominated, or he had a huge part of the black vote, and then of course you had a lot of young people who sided with him as well, and he get some momentum and steamroll. I don't think that will happen this time. I think even if Bernie does win Iowa and New Hampshire, and as I said, unless he wins them really, really big, I don't see his message playing as well in the South. When you go to South Carolina, where there's a lot of black people, I give the edge to Hillary. And then she becomes the comeback Clinton again, like Bill, right? And turns the whole thing around and makes it a big comeback victory and sweeps into the convention as the tried and true candidate now. She's proven, she's been tested, she can win. So don't get your hopes too high that with Bernie Sanders we're going to have a repeat of Barack Obama, because I've seen Barack Obama and I've seen Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders is no Barack Obama.
He's a lot older and he's white.
That's right. Exactly. And he's Jewish. And that will come into play in the hood.
Well, I don't know. The free education, the free college, the free, everything he's promising them.
Yeah, well, she's promising the same things, right? And old Bubba, So old Bubba will be down there to South Carolina. You know,
the first black president will be back in South Carolina.
That's right. Trading skin with his brothers and sisters. So that'll be going on, and maybe trading some saliva, too. Who knows?
No, who knows?
Maybe some other bodily fluids.
All right. We're not going to go there.
All right, but she's got other problems. Did you know that there is now another House panel who is going to investigate and focus solely on her emails? This is a House panel being headed by Republican Lamar Smith.
You think Loretta Lynch is going to do anything?
I don't know. And as far as these House panels go, we see that they're three-ring circuses. They're dog and pony shows. If Trey Gowdy, you know, everything that we were sold that Trey Gowdy was, and I wish Carl was here because I know he's a big fan of Trey Gowdy's, and I don't mean to trash the guy's reputation, but if that's the best he can do, I ain't impressed. And after we found out that Petraeus was not the second act that I said might be going on, and we could hope for it. But it wasn't likely, and it didn't happen. General Petraeus did not reveal, as a matter of fact, he backed up. He did not reveal anything that would undermine the administration's storyline. He backed it up.
They've got info on him.
Couldn't get anything there in 13 hours? Don't give me that crap. And there's no way you would have known that it would have only been 13 hours. Right? So it's just absurd. I mean, the story should have been, we tried to get assets there, they were in the air, but before they got there, the people had already made it back to Tripoli or something like that. That might, you know, be a plausible, but even then it's a stretch, because we know with F-16s across in Italy, they could have been in triple in the airspace above Benghazi in what, an hour, two hours at the most.
Well, 2 hours to get a seat to get C-130s across there with troops.
So, I'm sure an F-16 could have made it a lot faster.
And yes, of course.
And they have the pilots ready to be scrambled. Once again, this is not like the guys were, you know, all off and partying in town, and you had to go out and round them up and get them back to the base and then brief them and get them sobered up or something.
And
they are there waiting for this very...
Well, that's why they're stationed there.
Exactly.
And you can't use an excuse of, well, they would have run out of fuel because we have in-air refueling.
Right.
We have enough aircraft that do that.
Right. Why waste your time on Hillary? Go after the big bozo himself. Well, go after Barack Obama.
You can't do that because that's racist.
Well, I suppose in some moron's eyes it might be. But there was a black guy who was almost killed there that night, too. I guess that maybe doesn't matter.
Almost.
So, yeah, yeah.
So, he wasn't killed.
Right. But anyway, so there'll be another House panel that will go after Hillary. And once again, here she's trying to depict herself as the fighter who has to fight off all of these challenges and everything. Yeah, we need to know more about the emails, but... I mean, come on. Are they really going to do anything? Do you really think this panel is going to do anything?
Loretta Lynch is not going to arrest her, not going to do anything. All they can do is amass evidence and hope that the next president does something.
And our only hope lies now, I guess, with James Comey and the FBI, and that they haven't been infiltrated so much that they are now also compromised. And so... It's a sad situation with Hillary. Once again, this is why we need as many people as possible to know what went on in Benghazi, and more importantly, what did not go on in Benghazi that night. And where was she when it came time to answer the phone call? By the way, there was an interesting poll result. I believe it was Gallup did the poll this past week. The result came out. Did you know in Iowa, 43% of Democrats identify as socialists.
Bernie should do well.
43% in Iowa of Democrats now, of Democrats, identify as socialists.
Well, what percentage of Democrats throughout the country identify as socialists?
You got that.
That would be interesting.
That's right. Okay, we're coming up on a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Republican side of the aisle. And don't forget, you okay over there?
I'm just choking.
You've been eating too many of those
checks. Yeah.
Aubrey brought us some checks mix in tonight. You got something to drink? You need some water.
I'll get some.
All right. Anyway, we'll come back. We're going to talk about the Republican side of the aisle and some interesting things that have developed. And as I was getting ready to say, don't forget, we're going to be doing a Who Was That contest tonight. I think you'll find it interesting and hopefully fun. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. And we are back, and we want to wish a very happy birthday to one of our sponsors, and that would be Mike Bass. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, so happy birthday to Mike Bass. And by the way, he's going to sit in on the show with us for a little while tomorrow, so we'll help him celebrate his birthday in style. All right, we're back and we're live. Aubrey Kahn is in the studio with me, Christopher Hart. You can join us as well at 407-774-8255 and keep that phone handy because in the next segment of the show we will be playing our Who Was That contest tonight. So we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. I want to talk about some more politics, the Republican side, but we got JJ on the line, and she wants to talk about Trump and Cruz. So since that's where we're going anyway, why don't we let her set us up? So, JJ, thank you for being out there and calling tonight.
Oh, sure. I actually did see the movie that you've been discussing.
Yeah,
it made you mad as hell when you to see what those guys went through.
I know.
Heroic. Brave, courageous guys.
Yeah.
Really. And it's so sad that one guy got there and out within an hour and was dead. That was going Doherty. That was so sad.
Yeah, exactly. It was. Yeah. And Tyrone Woods had a young son. Looked to be what? He had a picture of him he carried.
A baby.
Yeah, about a year old, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to look at the other side of the equation, they did show a scene also toward the end of the movie. You remember this when they showed the families of the bad guys, and there were many dead bad guys laying out there who were dead, you know, who had to be killed because they were attacking. And
right.
If we hadn't been there doing what we weren't supposed to be doing, they'd been alive, too, I guess maybe to attack somewhere else. But, you know, if you want to just look at the human life that was lost because nothing was done, it was bad. It was real bad.
Maybe if we could count the Syrian lives, or not Syrian, but the Libyan lives that were lost, it would hurt, maybe prick Hillary's conscience more.
That's an excellent point that I didn't think about.
Don't count on it.
Well, you know, because, we wanted a light footprint. We didn't want to upset anybody in Libya, and lo and behold, they end up getting several dozen of them killed.
I think she just was negligent. I don't know that it was on purpose. It could have been, but I think she then tried to hide it, felt guilty, like, oh, dang, you know, we're under attack now. And, oh, yeah, he was asking me several times, several emails that I have on my supposed secure private server.
You know, if I were to hold a hearing on Benghazi, I would want to know minute by minute where the Secretary of State was. From the minute that she was notified that was going on, I'd want to know where she was and what she was doing for the full 13 hours. I'd want to know the same thing of the Secretary of Defense, the CIA director, and the President of the United States, and in particular, the President of the United States. I'd want to know what was the old Watergate question. What did you know, and when did you know it?
Mm-hmm. Right. They're getting away with murder.
Exactly.
I was a family.
Exactly. On the way home last night, I was shouting and I was cussing that SOB out like the Dickens. And I'm talking about Obama. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it was his responsibility. Now, Hillary didn't answer the phone, but by God Almighty, neither did he.
That was heartbreaking.
It was. It was, you know, and he left all these CIA geniuses. You got it right. Okay. All right. Thanks for going and seeing it.
Wait.
No, I'm not going to. No, I know you wanted. I was going to go, but you wanted to talk about Trump and Cruz.
I know. I just wanted to comment on the movie. But
go ahead.
Yeah, I agree a lot of so often with your assessment, political, you know, analysis. But I was really surprised at your assessment the other day about Trump. I mean, Cruz winning that debate. I was like, he gave such thoughtful, witty. I mean, there was a witty repartee going on. It was just very. He's a very highly intelligent person, and unfortunately, I'm worried that the electorate is not going to appreciate him the way they should because he.
Okay. Well, let me maybe perhaps allay your fears a little bit here because there's an interesting poll that came out. Let me see if I can pull it up. I write notes on just about anything, and I wrote it on the front of today's paper and didn't transfer it over to my other notes. Okay. All right. JJ, call me back. Call us back. But I'll go ahead and say this. In a three-way race between Trump, Cruz, and Rubio, Trump wins. In a two-way race between Trump and Rubio, Trump wins. Let me start again for you, JJ. In a three-way race between Trump, Cruz, and Rubio, which in my opinion, I think that's what it is right now, at least today, that's what it is. Tomorrow could be different, but today, that's what it is. In a three-way between Trump, Cruz, and Rubio, Trump wins. In a two-way between Trump and Rubio, Trump wins. In a two-way between Trump and Cruz, Cruz wins. So I think what's going on is... obviously, I think Cruz would like it to be between he and Trump. And I think Trump wants it to be between he and Cruz and Trump. I mean, excuse me, he and Rubio and Cruz. You see what I'm trying to say? In other words, Cruz wants it down to a two-man race. Trump wants to keep at least one other person in the race because it kind of, you know, dilutes the other guy. And so I see this sort of interesting dance going on between them. But I don't think that was Ted Cruz's best performance the other night.
I said he did great. I think he's very thoughtful.
Well, I did not.
He had a Tuesday comeback.
Well, let me because Carl's out of town, I actually sat in on his show last night. But the point I probably should have been maybe a little bit more specific when I said it, that doesn't mean that he still wasn't good. Okay, I didn't think it was his best performance. I didn't say he lost a debate, but I did say he lost to Donald Trump. And I was more or less judging.
It's debatable.
Okay, but I was judging between the two of them. And as I explained it last night, it's kind of like this. And one reason why, and you've heard me say it over and over again, I liken politics to professional wrestling because they're both working on sort of the same level, and it's a highly emotional level, okay? Mm-hmm. If you've ever been to a wrestling match, okay, you can see the emotion, right? And so what I believe happened the other night is that Ted Cruz works very well on what I call the intellectual level, all right? And that's, I think, what you've been judging him by.
Mm-hmm.
Trump
and his values.
Trump, all right, fine. But he comes, explained, he comes across very knowledgeable, he had all these details and stuff. That's all on the intellectual level.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. But it will not win you elections if you don't couple it with the emotion. Trump is working on more the emotional level. And what I believe happened...
The gut level,
right, exactly. And what I believe happened the other night is that Cruz put himself in a position with that New York values business...
I'll talk to you about that.
...that he allowed Trump to win the emotional feeling, if you will.
Yes.
And that... And when Cruz is standing there applauding him and nodding, that's a sign of resignation.
No.
Yes.
No. No. I see what you're saying. I see that you're looking at it that way. I looked at it like, no. I applaud those heroes. I applaud the people the way they cleaning up the next day. I lost family since 9/11. I've talked to them today. I have cousins visiting us. And we talked about, you know, that flipping the bird with the Statue of Liberty and drop dead Ted. And they thought they're liberals and they thought that was over the top. And they saw through. They thought Trump was exploiting 9/11, saying, listen, I was here for 9/11. And like he did. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant thing to stretch it to say, you know, you're like insulting all these great New Yorkers. I'm from New York. And I saw through it. I mean, but I follow this stuff. I mean, but I was surprised that they, because they're liberal, thought that that was kind of, you know, hey, we realize he wasn't saying because of 9/11, he was talking about electing de Blasio and Cuomo and, you know, all those liberal policies. I think it was unfortunate that Cruz, and we all agreed, that Cruz didn't specify New York values, meaning the politics. The lack of ethics, you know, the pro-gay marriage, abortion.
Carl posted something on his Facebook page on Friday, and I think that he said it the way Cruz should have said it. He said that he referred to it, rather than New York values, he should have called it, you are a New York Republican. Because that would have tied him more closely to the politics of New York, not the people of New York. And believe me, you might have seen through it, but guess what? A lot of other people, that sort of thing works with. And it gave Trump the opportunity to be the human compassionate one, if you will, for a change. And if you noticed at the very end of that, and I talked about this last night too, at the very end of that, Cruz gives him a little nod. Did you notice that?
I think he was saying, I agree with you about, like, he was like, yeah.
I think he.
Fireman in the blue.
I think he was saying, you're welcome, Don. Remember me on payday.
It could be part of it.
I think these guys are in a dance, and I think that they actually want it to be down, as I said, between them two and perhaps Rubio, and that they're going to do things along the way that may look contrary to that, but I think politics is like. Politics like Chris, professional wrestling.
Yeah, I know. Well, Chris, did you hear him say the next day, did you hear his apology the next day, his quote-unquote apology? It was his apology. He was apologizing for the people, good people of New York that have to put up, you know, and the police officers that have to put up with the likes of de Blasio and have to turn, you know, all they can do is turn their back on him to show what they think of him at funerals, you know.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that was it was good theater the other night, but that particular piece of theater favored Donald Trump. And the one earlier about their little tit for tat over the eligibility question, like I said, that was all on an intellectual level. So I think that emotion is always going to outweigh intellect. That's how Democrats win elections. They don't have an intellectual argument. So they're always making these emotional appeals. Just look at their campaigns. And so,
even my two cousins feel that Trump is arrogant and full of himself. They're like, we don't want him.
Well,
I mean, they like him they think he's great. New Yorker.
And you say they're liberals?
Yes.
Well, you just gave me another reason to vote for him if they don't want him. But I understand where you're coming from. But, you know, I think his arrogance and his ego would actually, if should he get elected president, now the guy, he's all about competition, right? Competing. That's really what business is all about. He will be competing against 44 other men. Do you know who I'm talking about?
44 other men.
Yes. Because we haven't chosen a woman one yet. He will be competing against the prior
ex-presidents.
Exactly, to be the best. And I don't think that's so bad. And he will be especially competing against Barack Hussein Obama. And if there's anybody around who's got the courage, I think there's two, who have the courage to dismantle the inner workings of the Obama's legacy, and that is the hiring of all these people in crucial positions in the IRS and other agencies, it would be Trump and Cruz. And
I just would prefer, honestly, to see Cruz debating Hillary because he is so smart. He'll cut her. He'll say things
Trump
would be much more...
Yeah, but once again, he would be working... I don't know it would be so great.
My tights are too tight.
Better go re-stretch them.
Oh.
No, it goes, my tights are too tight.
Oh, excuse me. But I have a quote here which I think comes from Hillary. She says, my husband did not cheat on me. I was simply outsourcing a menial task
In reality, it's a shining example of my ability to delegate and my leadership abilities.
She doesn't want to get her hands dirty.
I don't think
dirty.
It was Carly, do you?
No. Hillary doesn't want to get her hands dirty, right?
She was mouthing off on something.
All right. And I'm not the only one out there who is suggesting that Trump and Cruz are somehow perhaps more or less working with one another.
Bedfellows?
I don't know. We'll talk more about it because Trump kind of came down on him a little bit more today. But this is a couple of days ago from Judge Andrew Napolitano. Of course, you see him on Fox a lot of times. Andrew Napolitano says, you know, it's a slam dunk. Cruz is, he's got, you know, he's eligible. But he also says Trump may be doing Cruz a service by getting this out of the way. Let me read this, a couple of quotes from him here. His mother was born, this is Napolitano. His mother was born, about Cruz. His mother was born here. She's an American citizen. She lived here for more than a year. She and her husband were in Canada at the time of Ted's birth. It is well settled. He is a natural-born American citizen. Trump may actually be doing Cruz a service by raising this now and getting it out of the way. Ted Cruz spent the weekend talking about this, and I can't imagine it was his favorite thing to do, but the law is solidly on his side. This is what I was saying last week, that the Democrats were going to do this anyway, so let's deal with it now. As a matter of fact, there's already been a lawsuit filed in Texas trying to keep Ted Cruz off of the ballot in Texas by some guy named Swartz because they want a ruling on what is a natural-born citizen. Now, Napolitano gives the accepted definition. That accepted definition, however, has not been codified into law. And the only way it can be codified into law is to have a Supreme Court decision defining what is a natural-born citizen. It's probably going to be this, but until they codify it, as Napolitano says, it's got to be gotten out of the way. All right. It's time for our Who Said That contest, then we're going to get to another phone caller. But tonight we're twisting it up a little bit. We're going to make it our Who Was That contest. Now, we all know that Hillary Clinton is running to be the first woman president of the United States. But she's not the first woman to run for president of the United States. So who was that? Who was the first woman presidential candidate? Okay? That's tonight. That's tonight's question. You'll win a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida. Compliments of Pasquale Barba, and of course, you'll also win a My Liberty Threads T-shirt to go along with that. Cafe Positano. You can make reservations there anytime or takeout orders at 407-774-8080. And My Liberty Threads. You can find them at mylibertythreads.com. So, who was the first woman presidential candidate? If you know who that is, give us a call right now. In the meantime, let's go to Sherry on line two. Sherry, thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Excellent. And yourself?
It's chilly.
It is. I'm cold, too. I'm cold. I'm cold-natured, as my mom used to say.
I don't like the cold weather myself.
Yeah, I get chills easy.
Yeah,
that
Chris...
answer for that, I can't think of her name, but she's kind of tall and thin. And I think she's got a blondish, brownish hair. So that might help somebody else.
I'm not going to say it will or it won't at this point.
Well, it might.
Okay. All right. Go ahead anyway.
Okay. I know I've said it before. I just want to remind everybody that if you are a Democrat or you are an independent or any type of another party, you've got, I heard it today on Roger Franklin Williams' show, you've got, if you want to vote in the primary,
right,
as a Republican for Cruz or Trump or anybody,
right,
you have to be, you have to go to the supervisor of elections in your county by the 15th or the 16th of February, 1 month before.
Prior to the primary itself.
Right.
And then as soon as the primary is over, you can change it back or change it to anything
Absolutely.
Else you want to do. It's not binding, and it doesn't require to vote even for that same person if you change your mind between then and the general election, should that person get the nomination.
Right.
And
It will be March 15th.
For the primary in Florida. Right.
Now, if everybody that's going to vote for Hillary, she was down here about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Right.
Rally.
Yes.
And she said, make sure you go out and vote. So if you're wanting to vote for Hillary, you go at the very end of March. Vote for her, okay? That's what she said at that rally here in Orlando.
Well, we wouldn't want to tell her voters anything different, would we?
That's right. So if you're a Democrat, you vote at the end of March. If you want to vote Republican, you vote on March 15th.
Right. I like that. All right, Sherry, that's great stuff.
Have a good night, huh?
You too. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. And by the way, if you're somebody out there feeling the burn, and if you're a young person and you're an independent or whatever and you feel in the burn, same goes for you. You have to be registered as a Democrat to vote in the Democrat primary, all right? Because Florida is a closed primary state. So, once again, all right, let's see. We're looking for who was the first woman presidential candidate, all right? Give us a call, 407-774-8255 is the number. Real quick, Donald Trump was asked this morning on this week with Georgie Porgy Stephanopoulos about Supreme Court picks. Trump has, and I don't know how committed he is to this, but it sure put the fear of God in Carl. Well, I'm just teasing. But when he said on the campaign trail recently he thought his sister would make a great Supreme Court justice, Mary Ann Trump Barry is a federal judge in New York. That's his older sister. He's a middle child. His older sister, Mary Ann, went to law school, very successful law career, and was appointed to the bench, I believe, by Bill Clinton, but I'm not sure of that at this moment. But nonetheless, she is a judge and is widely regarded as being probably a little bit more liberal than conservative. I haven't seen her decisions, though, so I'm withholding judgment. But he didn't say he would appoint her to the Supreme Court. His sister's a federal judge, right? You might just throw her a compliment and say, yeah, my sister would make a great Supreme Court justice. But when he asked straightforward about it today, he didn't mention his sister. He thought Clarence Thomas would be what he would be looking for in Supreme Court justices. That should make a lot of conservatives out there happy, if they can believe him. He thinks that John Roberts is a disaster as a Supreme Court justice. And he went on to point out that one of the senators who was pushing John Roberts very hard was...
Marco Rubio.
Close, but no cigar. It was the Ted. Ted Cruz pushed John Roberts very hard. John was favored also by Jeb Bush. The Bush family and the Roberts, I guess, have some pleasant background. And the Bushes, and along with the help of Ted Cruz, depicted John Roberts as, another great conservative justice. And as Trump pointed out this morning, John Roberts got it wrong on Obamacare not once but twice and stuck us with it. And he could have saved us a whole lot of trouble if in that first decision he said, hell no, this ain't a tax, it's a penalty. You can't do this. Go back and rewrite this doggone thing.
I think the Obamas have something on him because of his adoption.
John Roberts?
Well, didn't John Roberts adopt a child?
I'm not sure. I didn't know that.
And, Obama does his homework.
Yeah, well, I'm
and
not.
He's as bad or worse than the Clintons.
But he's not the only example of a Supreme Court justice chosen by a Republican president, sold as being conservative, who ends up being liberal.
But generally speaking,
Souter was one.
Right, but generally speaking, that's what happens because most often when there's a Republican president, there's a large percentage of Democrats. And they can block and filibuster every nomination.
So they
tamp it down to appease the Democrats.
Well, in many of these cases, it doesn't even get out of the judicial committees. All right? So you got to have Republicans. You got to have a president who will back up his choice. One thing I'll say about George W. Bush is he stood behind Clarence Thomas. And so, but nonetheless, let's go back to the phone lines now. Wait a minute. All right, Jeff, give us about 5 minutes more so we can get some of these phone calls taken care of here. Because Al is on line one. He thinks he knows who was the first woman presidential candidate. Al, thank you for calling tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure to talk to you guys.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that.
I thought it was Geraldine Ferraro.
No, it was not Geraldine Ferraro. No, that's a good guess, though, but it wasn't Geraldine Ferraro. No, you need to go back further in history than that.
Okay.
All right, so if you get it figured, though, Al, give us a call. Al, have you gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics yet? Do you know what that stuff is?
No.
All right, this stuff is great for your skin, for cuts, burns, mosquito bites. It's real easy to use. You just squirt it, just spray a little bit on, mist it on, and it really works. If you got rashes or if you have a chronic problem, skin problems, this stuff may bring you a lot of relief. And guess what? It's so safe you can use it on babies. You can use it on even pets, and people get great results using it on pets. If you'd like us to like the Roxy's, to send you a free sample of it, just stay on the line, and you'll get a great consolation prize tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right, Al, stay on the line, and Jeff will get your information. All right.
You guys be safe.
All right, thank you, Al. You do the same. We appreciate you being out there.
God bless America.
Hey, amen to that, brother. Amen to that.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Did you hear...
Good night, Al.
Good night, Al. Did you hear about the liberal idiot from Oregon, the folk singer, who's heading to sing to Syria to sing songs of peace to ISIS?
Yeah, he may sing a song of peace and get cut into pieces over there.
Yeah. How dumb can you be and still breathe?
All right. Hey, I tell you what, let's once again, we're looking for the winner to our Who Said That contest, which tonight is a Who Was That contest. Who was the first woman presidential candidate? It was not Geraldine Ferraro. Nope, not even close, really. Yeah, so, all right. So
it was more than a century ago, was it not?
Now, easy does it on that. Easy does it now. All right, let's go to Diane, who is on the line right now. Diane, thanks for being out there.
Hey, you.
Hey, girl, what you doing?
No, I'm talking to you.
All right, love it.
Sandra Day O'Connor.
Now, she's
not that old.
Well, she was the first Supreme Court justice.
She was the first something.
Yeah. And Reagan, by the way, appointed her. And she also, she was a pretty good conservative, reliable conservative vote early on. But later on,
she became liberal.
She was very deluded in terms of it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So this is, it's a problem.
That's what happens. Hey, we were all shocked about John Roberts. That's why I think the NSA has something on him.
Yeah, I think you might be right. All right, we got to take a break. If you figure it out, Aubrey let another clue slip out, but give us a call back. Diane, God bless you. Thanks for being a part of our army, too. Appreciate you so much. Please stay with us. We'll be back. And away we go with the show. I can't believe we're already almost 2 hours into this 3-hour show. Really going by fast tonight. Once again, folks, I plead with you, please, 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 if at all you can afford it in time and money, go see 13 Hours while it's still in the movie theaters. It opened this weekend. It was a nice showing last night. I would have loved it if there was standing room only kind of thing. But the people who saw it did appear to come away with the right impression. 13 Hours. Who was the first woman presidential candidate? All right, and it wasn't someone that you might think. Let's just sort of kind of leave it at that for right now. But the first woman presidential candidate, all right? It's sort of a quirk of American history, if you will. Would you call that a quirk of American history?
I have no objections to calling it a quirk. It's a quirk.
It is a quirk of American history.
You want the first. But, there are
five other women that have run for president as well?
Yeah, well, don't mention them because there's probably somebody going to call in thinking that's the answer, all right? So let's wait till this.
Okay.
Keep that list handy, though. All right, keep that list handy. So anyway, if you know, think you know the answer, give us a call at 407-774-8255. As I said, a fellow by the name of Swartz is suing in Texas to keep Ted Cruz off of the ballot there. And in fact, it's probably best that we go ahead, as Napolitano says, and get this business out of the way. Let's go ahead and solve this problem. And it is a unique problem, and it's not like Obama's because at least the Obama claim was that he was born in Hawaii, and that was after Hawaii was made a state. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but the bottom line is that was his argument. It's different with Ted Cruz, and it's different even from John McCain, and they had to pass a resolution in the Senate to say it was okay for John McCain because he was born in the Canal Zone, Panama Canal Zone, which was at the time a protectorate of the United States. It's kind of like being born on a military base, if you will, and or an embassy compound. So it's considered sovereign American territory. Ted Cruz is different. And I'm not saying this disqualifies him. I'm just saying it's different. His birth occurred in Canada, one parent, a U.S. citizen. That's unique. Hasn't happened yet. That's why it is not a settled, codified in law issue. You cannot go to a legal book or a Supreme Court decision and show me the definition of natural-born citizen. It does not exist. A commonly held definition does. That is typical. It is typical of what Napolitano said. His mother was born here. She is an American citizen. She lived here for more than a year. Why that matters, I don't know. She and her husband were in Canada at the time of Ted's birth. It is well settled. He is a natural born American citizen. Well settled is not codified in law. And it has to be codified in law for it to be relied upon. Let's just put it that way. And Trump was right, and the Democrats were just waiting for an opportunity to lay this on him. So it's better sooner than later, you know, when it's all, you know, imagine him being a nominee and this all of a sudden being a huge issue. And, of course, the Democrats would make it a
huge issue.
That's right. So it's just as well that get this thing on out of the way. All right, I see we're not getting the lines have gone dry here. The minds are working out there. So this person that we're looking for, the first woman presidential candidate, was okay, we got a lot of calls. I was going to give away another hint, but I'll hold back, all right, since we got a lot of callers out there. And we will see if they know who we're talking about. In the meantime, while Jeff gets things organized for us here, I want to ask you to go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Check us out there, and please join the American Adversaries Army if you are not already a member of the Army. We'd appreciate you helping us out. It's real easy to do. Just go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com and then click on over to the recruiting office, and you can do it right there online. And we're just getting ready to come out with our first of 2016 newsletter. So I hope you will help us out on that and do that. Also, another little piece of news here. Planned Parenthood has decided to sue the Center for Medical Progress. And, of course, that's the group that produced the videos that, you know, show Planned Parenthood to be the butchers that they are and the body parts sellers, the Frankensteins, if you will. They are suing David Daleiden, I guess is how you pronounce his last name, David Daleiden of the Center for Medical Progress for producing and putting out these videos. David Daleiden says, "Bring it on! I'm waiting for the opportunity to depose your directors, your staff members, and everybody and anybody, your contractors, everyone involved in these things. We love to sit down and talk to them under oath. We just love to do that."
But they lie under oath.
Well, and perhaps some evidence can be used against them. Let's go to the phone lines now, because we got some people on the line who think that they know who was the first woman presidential candidate. Sherry, you're up again first. Thanks for calling back.
Well, yeah, my recall's not as good as I get older.
Yeah.
I'm just going by Aubrey's comment.
Yeah.
About 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Susan B. Anthony.
Well, no.
But, I have another one, but, you know, I can always call back. It will go further past her.
I tell you what, if you want to stay on the line, I won't make you call back, but I'm going to go through the other callers who are on the line first.
Okay.
And if none of them get it, we'll come back to you.
Okay, good.
Fair enough?
Thank you.
All right. Ron, you are up next. Who was the first woman presidential candidate?
Kate.
Hello, Ron. How you doing tonight?
No, you got Rick on the line.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rick. I'm sorry, Rick. Okay, Rick, you are up next. I appreciate you calling.
Okay. Victoria Woodhull.
It was Victoria Woodhull. I'm sorry. I thought we had a couple other contestants up there on the line. I didn't realize that we had gone to you, Rick. How did you know it was Victoria Woodhull?
Well, I looked it up.
You did. And what was the quirk of history about Victoria Woodhull's campaign?
Well, I know she was a suffragette, you know, as far as
women couldn't vote.
It was 50 years before the 19th Amendment.
Right, exactly. It was prior to the vote.
Right. Women could not vote, but they could run for office. And she was actually on the ballot. She got about 2,000 votes.
But here's another interesting thing.
What's that? Thank you, your other callers. I appreciate you calling.
Her running mate was the first black person nominated to run as vice president.
That's right. That's right. So it was an extraordinary time in America. And she, by the way, was running against U.S. Grant and Horace Greeley. And, of course, U.S. Grant won that election. That was in the late 1800s.
Can you imagine saying President Greeley?
I'm sorry?
Could you imagine anyone saying President Greeley?
Really?
Greeley?
So, Ron, have you ever been to Cafe Positano?
Actually, Rick. I have. You know, it's an excellent place. As a matter of fact, I was planning to go there sometime in the near future.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I'll do my best to get that stuff out to you as quick as possible. But you're going to be going there, at least in the near future, with a $20 gift certificate. And
fantastic.
All right. Well, thanks for calling tonight, Rick.
I appreciate it. And, thank you.
Yeah, you got to stay on the line, though, so we can get some information from you. So don't go away. But thanks for doing your homework for us tonight.
Okay.
That's right.
Thanks.
All right. We appreciate you. It was Victoria Woodhull, who was a suffragette. And even though women could not vote, they could run for office. And, of course, it wasn't too much longer after that when the suffragettes won and got the right to vote. So Hillary Clinton will not be the first woman to run for president. And I don't mean in a primary. I mean on the presidential general election ballot.
She won't be the first one to lose either.
That's right. Poor old Victoria went down in defeat. All right. That's an interesting quirk, you know, that a woman could run for office.
50 years before that. The suffrage movement.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
Claimed victory.
Yeah, and I was so proud that Aubrey Kahn knew the answer. I didn't think you'd know the answer, but you actually had to learn American history, didn't you?
I had to learn some. Yes,
coming here as a legal immigrant.
Legal, illegal, a frickin' American.
All right, so. The campaign is going to heat up even more. As I said, the last Democrat debate is tonight. And it's beginning to dawn on the Clinton campaign now that maybe it wasn't such a good idea after all to limit her time on the debate stage, because that's where she seems to do her best against Bernie Sanders.
Well, they couldn't.
Not because she's so good, but because he's so lousy as a debater.
But think how many bathroom breaks she'd have to take if they had more debates.
Trump knows what she's doing, and it's disgusting. All right.
That's something else you should delegate. But
Absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, I want to thank you other callers out there that we didn't get to tonight for trying to get in on our Who Said That contest. We appreciate you being out there. And if any of you who did call, you heard me offer to Ron a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. If you haven't gotten any yet, give us a call right now at 407-774-8255. Ed and Lou Ann Roxy are great folks. They'd love to send you some of their product. And this stuff really is great.
It works
excellently on animals. You know, people can't believe how fast animals heal when you use this stuff on mm-hmm. them. So you don't believe me, we're going to have a great testimonial for you later this week. But anyway, this stuff is all natural, kelp-based solution. It's easy to use, and once again, it's safe to use even on old folks, young folks, and pets of all kinds. And it works. And the best deal of all is to get the 8-ounce bottle, and you get a smaller bottle free, and that way you have a bottle you can carry with you and a bottle you keep at home in your medicine cabinet. And it's acne. You got a kid with acne. This stuff really makes a huge difference. So Roxy Pacifics you can find at skinfix.us. So just remember this. To fix your skin, go to skinfix.us. For Roxy Pacifics, it's skinfix.us. All right, we still got another hour of the 3-hour classic tour to do, and we'll do that here after this short news break. Don't forget, you're listening to the American Adversaries on FM 105.5, AM 660 The Answer, and 1520
fell into darkness. A call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, I hope you're feeling pretty good with the cool weather out there. I get cold easy, so I'm going to be bundled up tonight. I'll tell you that tomorrow night, too. I guess tomorrow night's supposed to be the
coldest.
It's going
to be very cold tomorrow night, and the next day it's going to have a high of 55.
Woo-wee! All right, winter has finally arrived in Florida.
But it'll be over by 10 a.m.
That's about the size of it. Okay, we won't be over until 8 p.m., but then you still got 3 hours of great live radio right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer, as Mark Walters takes you from 8 to 11 with Armed American Radio. And don't forget to catch my co-host here, Aubrey Kahn, every Saturday afternoon right here, same channel, at 1 o'clock for his live Talk to the Experts show, all about owning a home, everything from fixing that home to getting the home fixed to knowing all the ins and outs of buying and purchasing and or selling homes and other properties. So check out Aubrey Kahn at OrlandosHomeInspector.com. Our phone number is 407-774-8255. I am Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. And once again, we'd love to have you join us before we get out of here in another hour of the show. And here we do have, once again, some breaking news, if you will. It's kind of old news now, but the Iranian sanctions have been lifted. And then coincidentally and conveniently enough, we get our prisoners, our hostages, if you will, released from Iranian prisons where they were being held, one of them most of the time in solitary confinement for over a year. Many of them being subjected to, shall we say, harsh treatment and deprivation, and evidently a couple of them were in quote-unquote deteriorating health, and five were actually released. One was a young fella who was arrested by the authorities just a little over a month ago. He was in Iran on a foreign languages studying visa, evidently. I don't know what the charges were even against him, the Christian pastor who had been in there, I think he was in there 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
Yeah. He was one of the men released. We, in turn, released seven Iranians that we were holding on violations of sanctions charges. I believe that would include, arms, what do they call it, gun running?
Gun running, yeah.
And there were 14 warrants out for others for sanctions violations, and not only were the seven released, but the 14 warrants, or people who were wanted, are now off the hook as well. So the Iranians got a particularly good shake out of this deal. Nonetheless, those four Americans are on their way home.
Which is a good thing, but, you know, this is typical of this administration. How many terrorist leaders did we let go for one traitor?
You're talking about, of course, the Bergdahl thing. But,
of course.
But at least we got at least a traitor out of that deal. I mean, we're now letting these guys go out of Guantanamo Bay and get nothing for it. He let another 10 go this past week. There's plans to let another couple go here in a couple of days.
He's trying to empty Guantanamo so that he can turn around and say, we don't need it anymore, and give it back to Cuba.
And give the nice modern facilities down there. That's right. And guess who the Cuban...
And he'll leave all the communication and security equipment there for them, too.
Well, we wouldn't want to make it rough.
Because we've only given them one Hellfire missile so far.
And it is a prison, after all, so I wonder what the Cubans might use it for. You think maybe to hold political prisoners? Yeah. So we're going to take out terrorists.
Or dissidents.
And end up having Cubans who are, you know, seeking freedom in their country replace the terrorists.
Right.
Won't that be nice? But that's what this president is angling for. So the prisoner swap, they didn't release anybody. They swapped them out. And this was also meant to coincide with the lifting of the sanctions so that we can all sing Kumbaya. You know, earlier I was singing the Coca-Cola song,
mm-hmm.
like to teach the world
to
sing in perfect harmony.
That I can agree with.
Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Okay, I
Thank
get
you.
The idea.
Chris, don't sing.
Okay. You get the point, though, right? And so this is a kumbaya moment with the Iranians. And then you got the icing on the cake with the 10 sailors who were held at gunpoint with their hands over their heads, their shoes removed, on their knees in the prone position.
And the woman had to wear
a burqa. The female sailor had to cover her head.
So it wasn't a burqa.
Yeah. Well, it was, I guess, something. Maybe, I don't know if they provided it or not.
The Iranians provided a headscarf for
her. How convenient that they happen to have one on board.
Listen.
Because they don't have women sailors.
Well, but besides that, their naval craft and nothing like what we had. We could have blown them out of the water.
Did you see the picture that showed our two Navy boats sandwiched in between about a half a dozen of their
little Chris-craft?
Yeah, they look like something you'd go bass fishing with on a lake, not even in the ocean,
well,
for God's
exactly
sake.
That's exactly my point.
We
could have blown them out of the water without a second thought.
Obviously, we weren't about to allow our military personnel to protect themselves because, by God, golly, that might jeopardize
the deal.
It was
a setup.
Yeah, it might jeopardize the deal. But what we could do is have a little incident and have the Iranians then immediately turn the sailors and the boats back over to us, and won't they be looking so good? And everything will be fine. You see what we can do with diplomacy.
But
if only the world would be more diplomatic.
What stuff that was on the boat was not returned?
Or at least photographed. All right, and I look and I see now we have Sunny. That's Patricia Summerlin, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling, coming to us live from California. Sunny, are you in the mountains tonight? Is it still snowing out there?
No snow. Guess what? It's sunny up here in the gorgeous mountains. It's 53 today.
Woo-hoo! Wow. So I guess
can you believe? Yeah, the snow is gone. And tomorrow we're going to get some rain. And Tuesday we're going to get some rain.
Wow. So the wet stuff is still coming your way, huh?
Oh, yes, and we need much, much more of it. So let it rain, I say. The snow, too. I mean, I'm getting used to that snow. Kind of miss it, but not.
So you're not going to change your name to Snowy, though, right?
No. I can be cloudy sometimes before I get the coffee going.
Right,
but
right.
Other than that, I'm going to be sunny forever.
Okay.
Before we get, I just want to give a shout-out because we've got some great listeners today.
Sure, go ahead.
I have wonderful, wonderful, faithful listeners. One, Joe Beshore.
Hey.
And, of course, we got Michael Sam Houston.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Mike.
Yes, and we do have my family in Louisiana, different parts, DeRitter, Alexandra. I have my nieces and my brother who live out there are listening today.
Well,
so,
well,
know,
hey, everybody.
I just want to say thank you, and
yeah.
I love you guys, and, you know, keep on listening. And to whoever else is listening, that's a wonderful thing.
All right.
We give a lot of it, informative advice. And if you want all the latest breaking news, listen to all of us. And listen to American Adversaries as much as you can every day.
Amen to that.
Hey, thanks so much. That's right. And you can find us at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com or listen to us live every afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern Time on AM660TheAnswer.com or, of course, on your smart device. All right, the prisoners who were swapped out for the Iranians, obviously it's great that they're finally released. They're finally coming home. It's overdue, but they are out. Are there any of them, do you know, from California?
I don't know. We have a former U.S. Marine near Hikanti, the prisoner, Saeed Abedini.
Yep.
Let's see. We also have Jason Kazan.
Kazan.
He was a Washington Post reporter.
Jason Kazan, that's right. Washington.
Yes,
as a matter of fact,
so
he was
all in flight, and I believe they've landed in Germany, and we don't know how long they're going to stay in Germany before they get to the, you know, our soil, but they're in the U.S. soil.
Yeah.
They left carrying all the Americans, let's see. On Sunday, which is, again, our time is different than theirs.
Right.
So the journey is back. However, other Americans are still being held. So the Islamic Republic is showing a signal that they're not going to still abide. They're still going to play their dirty games.
Yeah, they're still playing hardball with us. And I'm glad you pointed that out, that there are still people being detained. And that they were not part of this package deal here. And but, yeah, it shows that the Iranian regime is going to be a tough player. And, you know, the rest of the Middle Eastern countries surrounding the Iranians, the Saudi Arabians and others, are quaking in their boots now because with the lifting of the sanctions, they're afraid that Iran is going to become a much more powerful player in the region, and that's not anything that they are excited about.
No, absolutely not. And it's sad that they're using us Americans as if you will, bargaining chips. They're holding them, you know, and
That's right.
As long as they do, they have kind of a upper hand, and that's not very good.
No,
not very nice.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And this is just off sort of this track, but I just want to ask you real quick: have you had a chance to see the movie 13 Hours, or do you plan to see the movie 13 Hours?
I plan on seeing that. Yes,
yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah. Well, when you do, I want to talk to you about it. I saw it last night, but since you haven't seen it, I don't want to go over the details. We talked about it earlier in the show, but please do see it. It's a compelling movie, and you will at once see the best in America and the worst. So it's a fine movie and worthy of seeing.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but positive on that movie.
All right, and it's got some great.
I plan on going to see a few comedies. I went to see Daddy's Home, which I laughed my butt off.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Beshore. It was hilarious.
Is that right?
Oh, my gosh.
I love comedies.
I'm that comedy person, you know?
Yeah.
Wherever I can laugh and smile, that's me.
Yeah. You know, we were watching the previews before the 13 Hours movie. I noticed there wasn't a comedy in the lineup. They were all these, action movies and stuff like that. I don't know if there just aren't any good comedies being made right now, but.
Well, I think there is one with Robert De Niro.
Yeah, Joy. It's called
Grandpa, I think.
Oh, is it? I know he was in Joy too.
Super
and I think,
funny.
Yeah, that was supposed that
Super
came
funny.
Out over
yeah,
Christmas.
Yeah, he's a character.
Yeah,
so versatile.
Speaking of actors,
and speaking of wonderful celebrities, and what a heartbreak.
that we've lost back to back within a week, which I can relate to, as my brother and my niece passed away, and I miss them dearly, and I know they're with us, to cancer, which is, you know, all the celebrities, Natalie King Cole, I say,
right.
Alan Rickman, and you know what is heartbreaking is Dan Haggerty. Gosh,
yeah.
I used to grow up with him and watch him.
Well, Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, and, you know, 69 seems to be the lucky number or unlucky, because if you noticed, a few of the celebrities are 69 when they've passed. You know, we've lost Lemmy, another great. David Bowie.
David Bowie was 69.
Heartbreaking. That's my favorite. I actually cried when I heard that.
Did you?
I just wished him happy birthday, you know, 2 days before.
Yeah, that's right. It was just his birthday.
And then Celine Dion's husband, which is just Renee, how do you say it? Azriel?
Azriel.
And her brother Azriel. 2 days later.
Yeah.
Which is just it's sad. And all this is to cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David.
This epidemic of cancer is just, it's crazy.
Yeah. David Bowie, I don't know if you saw his last video, music video, he's literally lying in his deathbed, and he's singing from his deathbed. And his new album, Black Star, I think it's called, It's some people, I haven't heard it yet, but some people say it's one of his finest works.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But,
and, you know,
yeah.
I've heard one song from it. I plan on getting the whole CD and listening to it in my car because I just love him. I love all his songs. Put On Your Red Shoes and Dance was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Comes with a lot of memory for me because I won a Miss Beautiful contest to that song.
Is that right?
And, yeah, and then my whole life changed from that point on was with his music. So for me, it's a special place in my heart. But this, they say his album, he knew that he was...
Oh, yeah, he knew he was dying.
Yeah.
And like I say...
This is a tribute and, some of his best work.
Yeah, that music video, it's very compelling stuff.
Yeah.
He's got... He's lying in bed, and he's got, like, bandages over his face, and he has, like, these two little button things for eyes. You know, they're like little fake eyes, and it's just a I don't want to say haunting. Yeah, exactly. You know,
right.
It's still the stagecraft right up to the end.
Yes, exactly.
But he's
brilliant. He's just, you know, and another one that reminds me in the female pattern is Madonna, who is forever changing. And she's aging. You know, people are saying, oh, she looks terrible. But you know what? That woman is something, and she keeps going and forever reinventing herself.
Yeah.
You know, and as far as here we go in the polls, reinvention, which I'll tell you what, close points between Sanders and Hillary, but she's still leading 25 points.
Well,
in the national polls.
Yeah, and some there's a polling agency called Real Clear Politics, which does an average of all those polls, and they show her ahead in the nationwide poll by 9 points at 48-39.
Exactly.
Nonetheless,
and Trump is getting a little snippety, not surprising with his mouth, but you know, of course, he's slamming Mr. Cruz.
Yeah, well, that had to happen eventually. But I think that there's a little bit more of a dance going on between them where they're it appears they're being more harsh with one another than I think that they really are.
It's a love-hate relationship.
Well, you know,
who knows behind, you know.
Well, you know, it's like
doors.
I say, politics is like professional wrestling.
That's right.
Know?
Don't we know?
And
same scenario.
Right.
You know, and then Marco Rubio, you know, I don't agree with his theory about with the undocumented immigrants stating that they should stay as long as they abide by the law.
Yeah, I know. I saw him.
That's wrong.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with him.
Because
they broke the law coming in, so they should all be deported right away.
No, that's not what he's saying.
I know.
He said they have a right to stay, all the undocumented.
Right.
Send
them back.
Yeah.
If they come in documented, fine. Break the rules or abide by the rules. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, everyone should be. Look at, you know, several people as well have to get their documentation, as well as, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
Rubio,
I think he sealed the deal that he won't be the nominee for the Republican Party with that statement right there, and he made it this morning.
Yes,
so
I know.
You're right.
I'm not voting for him.
All right. All right. Great work, Sonny. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. And thanks.
Sonny, hugs and smiles. And have a wonderful, blessed week.
Thank you. You too.
Talk to you again on Sunday.
And thank all you guys out there listening because of Sonny. We appreciate that ever so much. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
And we're back. That's right. Until 8 o'clock, we'll be here. We'll be live. There's Aubrey Kahn going through his notes. We'll be live until 8 o'clock, and then Armed American Radio will take you live until 11 o'clock. Nowhere else in this town, probably all of Central Florida, maybe all of Florida, I don't know, can you find such great live radio every Sunday night, 5 to 11. All right, James is on the line. He is up next.
And he wants to talk about some things that were brought up. Yeah, when I think of Obama, I also want to bring up
your dinner, right? James.
Hi,
hey, James. How are you doing today?
A few weeks ago, fine. How about you?
Good. Thank you, sir.
A few weeks ago, I called in to chastise you about not talking about Uma Abedin. I hope I'm saying her name close.
Yes.
And I heard your rant on her, and I wanted to say thank you for that.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yes. Thank you, sir.
And I took my son out to dinner last week with his family.
Yeah.
And he's got a little six-year-old girl who's my granddaughter, of course.
Bless her.
And the restaurant we went to had a TV playing. And I know you talk about people not realizing Hillary, but Hillary came on the TV, and my six-year-old granddaughter said, oh, there's the lady that lies. That's how she identifies Hillary.
Wow.
So I thought you might like that.
That sums it all up. And it says that the message is getting through.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's encouraging.
One of the things that people forget today is the conventional wisdom. You go to the Bible, and I'm not a Bible thumper, so I'm not going to bother you with a lot. But 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good character.
Right.
And this goes to the Donald Trump thing about not letting Muslims in until we know who we are, who we got. Well, the 10,000 that they let in to begin with, they've already indicted 100 as being terrorist suspects. And I don't know how many more they have under the watch list.
Oh, boy, isn't that great? And they're going to put them in our jails and our prisons, right?
Yeah. It brings up the conventional wisdom of a rotten apple spoils the barrel.
Yes.
And even as far back as Geoffrey Chaucer in the 1300s, who wrote the Canterbury Tales,
yep,
talked about that. And rather than take up your time with the old English, I'm just going to give you a sort of a rift on what he said.
Go ahead.
About an old proverb, the words that say, a rotten apple's better thrown away before it spoils the barrel. That is true when dealing with a Muslim, too.
Yep, that's right.
And the last thing is, I sent you an email a few weeks ago talking about the problems with the Muslims in the Middle East. And really, to understand the current situation, you have to go back to right after World War I with the breakup of the Ottoman Empire.
Right.
And one of the things that has stopped a caliphate from reforming is the regional strongmen or dictators like we had in Gaddafi and...
The Shah of Iran, Gaddafi, yeah. Saddam Hussein, Assad, and King of Jordan.
Mubarak in Egypt that got kicked out?
Yeah, Mubarak. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Obama has done is not only has he appointed a lot of the Muslim Brotherhood into positions in the government, he's taken the strategy of getting rid of the regional strongmen, which allows the reformation of the caliphate. And this is one of the active projects that the Muslims have been going on. They're calling it the Project Renaissance, and they have it all over at least U.S. and Europe and Middle East. And that the Renaissance means a rebirth, and what they're talking about is a rebirth of the caliphate.
Right, exactly.
And with Obama's strategy of fighting the war to basically inhibit our people going against the ISIS or ISIL or whatever you want to call it.
The Islamic State.
That allows them to expand their
their caliphate.
Projection of force to become a caliphate.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that really that becomes a material support and aid to the enemy, and I think there's a case to be made that Obama's doing treason purposely. And that's what I had to say tonight, and I appreciate your listening.
Well, thanks, James. I wholeheartedly agree with you. The problem is we don't have anybody who's going to do anything about it.
That's true.
You know, this Congress has made it quite clear that they're willing to roll over for this president, that they're looking beyond him, as they're now saying it, and not going to make him in any way whatsoever be held accountable. And yet they constantly bemoan the fact that he continues to violate the Constitution. And Paul Ryan this morning was assuring us that just like the illegal immigration pause that he put on, you know, what was that? What do they call it? Not the Dream Act, but the thing that he did.
DACA.
Well, the thing that he did by. Yeah, and the courts are holding that up. And so Paul Ryan goes, well, we'll always, you know, we'll go whichever the best way is to slow him down. The best way to slow him down would have been to shut off his funds. Instead, they're going to rely on the courts, the unreliable courts, to ensure. No, they won't do anything about it. Obama's justice is going to have to be brought by us electing somebody who will gleefully dismantle and reverse what this guy has done. But I agree with you, James. All right. Thanks for being out there. Appreciate you, man. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And God bless your granddaughter. She's getting it right, man.
Bye-bye.
That's the lady who lies. I like that. Smart child you got there. Grandchild. All right. The president, of course, one of his pet projects also is to rid us of the plague of guns and gun violence, right? And so this past week, I said, you know, you can't go a week in the Orlando Sentinel almost anymore and you don't read a story about somebody thwarting a criminal with a gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, this past Thursday, the 14th, now they stick this underneath the obituaries on page B4.
Well, they don't want it to be headline news.
No.
They've got to bury it.
No, this is an article they actually stole from Florida Today, and the title is Coco Man Shoots Would-Be Robber. I'll just read a little bit. You'll get the idea. A store owner shot and wounded a would-be robber, and two others were in custody Wednesday following a botched heist at a Coco convenience store that has investigators working to determine if they could be connected to a series of other robberies in recent weeks. So not only did this guy protect himself, but he stopped a gang going around robbing people, is what this amounts to. Police say the three, possibly led by a 23-year-old woman, were on what they called a money mission when the plans were soured by the armed business owner. The business owner, his name is, I think it's Sawan Sui. You spell his last name S-U-Y. When they came in, they pulled a gun on him, and he says, take this. He pulled his gun out and started shooting.
Wait.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. Right before the break, by the way, 407-774-8255 is the number. You still have a little time. We have one more half hour to the show tonight. Before we get too far away, though, this story about the guy shooting the convenience store robbers in Coco and thwarting their little ring, something similar happened in Jeffrey Manor. Have you ever heard of Jeffrey Manor there, Jeff?
I can't say I have.
It's on the south side of Chicago, and there is a T-Mobile store in Jeffrey Manor that has been repeatedly robbed over the past several months. Well, when the guys went in there to rob it this past week, one of the employees had a concealed weapons permit, and when the robbers came in, and he pulled his gun out and started unloading on these suckers, and went running, scattering, and he hit them both. He hit one, I think, in the arm and in the butt. One he hit in the groin and in the arm. The other one he hit in the shoulder or something like that. So they make it to their car. They weren't able to get off any rounds because he whipped his gun out and started blasting away. They finally make it out of their car, went to the hospital where they were put in custody. Also, a couple of, you know, career criminals going around doing this on a regular basis until a guy with his own gun put an end to the doggone nonsense, right? And not only did he protect himself that night, but he probably protect other store owners and other property owners
for the next 10 years.
Yeah, who were going to get robbed by the same group. The same with this thing in Cocoa. And of course, but so what I'm going to do is when these stories pop up in the Sentinel, I'm going to mention them. All right, so that we'll know, have a little bit better perspective on things, if you will. All right. Usually during this portion of the show, we do our WTF news stories. I got a couple for you here tonight. This one that Aubrey will appreciate. Is that a bird or a plane or a drone in the air? You know, drones are becoming more and more ubiquitous. They're everywhere. Well, according to the federal, FAA, yeah, Federal Aviation Administration, they're trying to work out some rules, but in terms of who owns the air, the space, if you will, above
the grass.
Yes, has not been determined as of yet.
It's not a land grab anymore. Now it's an air grab.
Right.
So they're going to start taxing us on the air that we breathe. I mean, in places like California, et cetera, you can't even take the rain and put it in water barrels to keep.
Right.
Because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the flipping government.
That's right. If it comes out of the sky on your property, that's just too bad.
Well, you know what? If that was the case, I'd be sending the government an invoice every time it rained for them using my land as runoff and catchment.
Oh, no, no, no. You don't understand. It doesn't work that way. But it also comes into play with drones, because if a homeowner doesn't own the space above him, then there is no way he can object to drones flying over his house.
Well, that's part of the nonsense with the FAA. While you know, we're not allowed to fly drones within 5 miles of an airport.
Right.
We're not allowed to fly drones over 400 feet.
High.
And, you know, you have to register your drone.
Supposed to.
If it's
over a certain size, right?
Half a pound,
which is, that's just...
The battery itself weighs that,
right,
on most drones.
Right, right.
All right, I'm not talking about a $20 or $30 drone that's the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Those,
yeah,
little helicopter things you buy,
right,
in a 7-Eleven or something.
Right, no. We're talking about drones, which usually have a camera on it.
Right.
And...
which is about the size of a, I don't know, what, microwave or something like that, in terms of diameter, but
well,
not necessarily
mine's
the height.
About 14 inches.
14 inches across.
And you have, as a private individual, if I'm going to use it for my, you know, just for private use, I have to register it with the FAA, and it costs $5, and you go online to the FAA website, you register it. Well, I use mine for commercial purposes.
Because you're a home inspector, you have to get...
I'd use it for roofs and stuff like that. And so I have to register it as well.
But
I cannot register it online. That's only for private personal use. I have to get a form 233 or something like that, something crazy that I have to fill out and send in. I cannot download it because it does not exist online. I cannot get a photocopy of one from someone else. It has to be an original. Well, here's the rub.
Yeah?
FAA, I emailed them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, please send me the form for commercial use of a drone.
And?
I got an email back. Thank you for contacting us. Please go to the FAA website and register online. So I emailed them back. This is not for personal use. This is for commercial use.
Right. So
I get an email back.
Yeah.
please go to the FAA website and register online.
Right, right.
So the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Sounds like government.
And it's time to close them down.
Right.
I'm sorry. They're a bunch of useless, sorry individuals whose jobs are guaranteed and they can never be fired.
That's right. That's right. Okay. If you're single out there, do you use a dating site? Well, even if you're not single out there, do you use a dating site?
Now. Bill is not running.
That's right. Well, of course, you know, some of these sites, I don't know much about them.
I'm
unfortunately pretty technically incapable of taking advantage of such things, but... evidently, many of these sites cater to certain groups. Like if you want, I guess.
Yeah, Christian singles.
Exactly, or whatever.
Bomb Strappers, Inc.
Yeah, and white people.
White people.
There is a new one of these sites that is for white people only.
That is going to be sued and shut down in a heartbeat.
Well, that's what remains to be seen, because is it discriminatory if...
Only right? If you're white. If you can have a black dating website...
I believe they're already out there.
There's plenty.
Right. And probably Hispanic dating sites. You know, there's tons of these things. It started out with what, Christian singles and one or two others.
eHarmony, yeah, Christian singles.
But every mother and their son has one of these sites now, and so you can get them catered to pretty much any group. Except now we will see if white people only is going to be okay.
Well, as you know, white people are the only people that can be discriminated against legally.
Well, but
especially white. White men.
That's right. And no, I am not a member.
You're not a white guy?
Oh, no.
When did you change your gender or your color?
And I can't wait for McBath to be back in. Now, he's coming in tomorrow night, I think, because he's got a charity thing or something going on Wednesday night that he has to take Wednesday's show off. But Penn State... Their Ooh. President, Eric Barron, has come out with some new rules. Did you see this?
No, I have not, but it's Penn State.
Penn State is now a zero-tolerance school. And what might you ask, do they no longer tolerate at all?
White men.
Close. Microaggressions. Verbal assaults. And racial subjugation. Now,
wow.
What does
racial
microaggression, verbal assaults, and racial subjugation, what do they mean? Pretty much anything you damn well want them to mean.
As long as you're a minority,
that is what you can complain. That's exactly right. That is what is meant by zero tolerance. They are putting up signs and banners and placards all over the campus asking for students to make reports, official reports, to any instance of microaggression, verbal assaults, or racial subjugation.
Well, how is that any different to what's going on in New York City?
Well, this is a college campus where it's supposed to be open, you know,
but in New
free
York
speech.
City, if you
insult,
if you call a transvestite or a gender confused
right.
individual
correct
a he or a she and not a z then you can face a fine of up to $10,000.
That's right.
I mean, how ridiculous is this liberal BS gonna go?
Well, until we get somebody who can counter that liberal BS.
Well, that's not going to happen. I showed you a thing here on my tablet.
There's
a woman explaining Common Core and saying that 4 multiplied by 3 can equal 11. It's not the answer that's important. It's the process of getting there.
Right.
Well, this is how dumb liberals are.
I could say something about that.
Don't get me started.
White side, but I won't. I won't do it. And stay with us. We'll have more to say, though, on the other side of the break. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got us until 8 o'clock. Don't forget then, Mark Walters and his guys come in at 8 and take you to 11 with some more great live radio. All right. Speaking of teaching people things, in particular, good behavior, right? Like they're trying to do at Penn State.
Oh, yeah?
Well,
tell me more.
They're trying to do it now also in Germany, Bavaria in particular. Bavaria's Justice Minister, Winfried Busbach, who taught parts of the first legal education class in the town of Ansbach last week, says it's important to give newcomers an early understanding of our basic values. Would you know which newcomers that they are talking about?
Wouldn't be Italians, would it?
the 1.1 million they let in just last year into Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about cultural suicide.
Well,
and so what they're going to try to do, they're worried, the government is worried that the pressure is increasing over dissatisfaction amongst real Germans as to what is happening to their great country, thanks to Angela's policies. They are coming up with these schools to try to teach these refugees how to behave in a Western culture
and
accept the Western ways. How far do you think they're going to get with that?
Well, as far as the refugees are going to bend all fingers except their middle finger and show that to the teachers. Now, did you hear what's happened in, I think it was Sweden? The Christians have formed a group.
No, well, I didn't hear this.
You know how the Muslims have been going around raping and terrorizing the women?
Well, just being good Muslims.
Right. Well, the Christians have now formed a group, and they went to some of the mosques and threatened the Muslims.
How?
By saying, if you try this, we're going to come and get you, and we're not going to play games either. We're going to crucify you the same way you've been crucifying our people.
And the Swiss government didn't have them picked
the
up?
The Swedish government?
Swedish government, I mean.
The Muslim clerics have laid a complaint against this group.
Right.
Obviously, they don't like the competition.
It's sad, but that's what happens.
And the Germans are also creating vigilante groups.
I was going to say, what happens is when the government won't step in and do what's right, the people will take it upon themselves.
That's why we got to keep our Second Commandment. The Second Amendment.
Might as well make it a commandment. But yeah, exactly right. This government, and that's why we have the Second Amendment. Because it was understood by the founders that some future government may not be up to the task. And they need to be held accountable, or people may need to protect themselves because the government won't do it for them.
Right.
Exactly, and that's the predicament that these Western countries are finding themselves in. And, of course, though, you're going to have the left in all of these countries arguing, oh, how could you be so cruel? How could you be so mean? These people just want to come here and live lives
and take over the country and destroy us and kill us and make us all Muslim.
You know, I'm half a mind to go ahead and let them do it. And you want to know why? Because they'd rid of us a bunch of liberals. They would take these liberals. They would be the first ones to be killed.
Well, yeah, because they're against gays. They're against
women who open their mouths, women who do anything but stay barefoot and pregnant and in the kitchen, right?
With their heads covered.
Right, exactly. And so, you know,
that's where those,
you know, I'm almost saying, okay, all right, that's the way you want it. All right, you can have it. But of course, the rest of us would go down with that ship too.
And that's the problem.
And that's the rub. Exactly. That's the problem.
Can you imagine Muslim talk radio? Stop that. That's Obama's favorite sound, the call to prayer.
indeed. But that's what you would be hearing a lot of, that's for sure. All right. As I said, the final Democratic debate's getting ready to start here in mere moments, in about a little over an hour. It'll be at 9 o'clock, and they're holding it in South
Carolina. Be over by 9:10.
Yeah, anything interesting. But the Republicans will be debating again here in a little less than 2 weeks, on the 28th. And then, of course, the voting in Iowa starts on the 1st. And right now, it's pretty much a toss-up in Iowa. We'll see as the polls start coming out this week if the debate that was Thursday night, if there was any gain or loss for Trump, Cruz, or Rubio, pardon me, who seem to be the three primary players at this point. We'll see if that little dust up between Cruz and Trump is having an effect. Mm. There was an article in this was Friday's newspaper, the Orlando Sentinel, by Victor Davis Hanson.
Yeah,
where he talks about Obama's failings help propel Trump's rise. And make no mistake about it, he's not thrilled about this at all.
No.
And as a matter of fact, the last paragraph of his article is, how does the establishment derail an out-of-control train for whom there are no gaffes, who has no fear of the New York Times, who offers no apologies for speaking what much of the country thinks, and who apparently needs neither money from the Republicans nor politically correct approval from Democrats? I think he's worrying that there's no stopping Trump now. But that's not the point of his article. The point of his article is, and this is something very similar to what I've been saying, and that is that history is, if you will, on Trump's side. And what he points out in his argument is that Trump is pretty much the opposite of Obama. And people are so sick and fed up with Obama that they want pretty much the opposite of him.
Hope and change.
And that... Exactly. But that's poetic justice, because that's exactly what happened when we elected Obama. As a country, I mean.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
No, I did not vote for Obama either time. Thank you very much. I held my nose and voted for McCain and Romney, and I don't know if I'll do that again. I may just stay home next time. But The point was, everybody at that time was pretty much sick of George W. Bush, mm-hmm. and wanted something radically different from him. So I think that's part of what's at play here. Anyway, JJ is on the line again. JJ, thanks for calling back. Appreciate you being out there.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something else you need to clarify. You said, I have half a mind to let him... These radicals take over the Muslim people for women that open their mouths. Now, you mean like Debbie Lawson itself, don't you?
I meant liberals, not women. Liberals. Because
I've been saying, calling yourself.
Okay, I got you. Let the liberals, if they think that they really want this cultural diversity, let them have a taste of it, is kind of what I was saying, right?
Right.
Because
right.
they will be the first ones to have their throats cut.
It's
just a shame that they're that stupid and ignorant that we got to stand up for their stupid, sorry carcasses, but that's what we're stuck with. But I like your take on it, though.
No, listen, I don't know if you guys have heard this joke, but Aubrey, you said about the drone, where you guys were telling a story about the grass and the air above the drone, and
right.
the government's trying to act like it belongs to them.
Correct.
I don't know if you guys have heard this joke, but for people out there, it's kind of cute. A group of scientists got together and decided man had come a long way and no longer needed God, and decided to tell God, we don't need you anymore. We can now make a man. We've come a long way, to the point where we can clone people and perform miracles even with the science today. And he said, very well, but he said, you have to, we're going to enter a... have a man-making contest, and you have to do it the old-fashioned way. And they said, okay, we can handle that. And so they bent down and started grabbing some dirt, and he said, no, you get your own dirt.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that, too.
I like that a lot. Kind of sums it all up, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Just try to actually create anything, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Give credit where credit's due. It's
you got that right.
Wants to act like they're the gods, you know?
Exactly. You're exactly right. They want to replace.
That's right.
Exactly. All right. Great work, JJ. Thanks for being
here. Thanks, JJ.
All right. All right. We're just about out of time. Once again, we're going to leave you tonight with the Lloyd Marcus tune. And once again, you can find Lloyd Marcus at his website, lloydmarcus.com, and you can buy his CD, God, Country, and Love, at that website. But we got Diane on the line. Diane, I got just a couple of minutes. Thanks for calling back.
Hey, you guys. I just want to thank JJ for her comments about Cruz, because she was right on the money.
Yeah.
And also, did you know that they're cloning animals with people?
Yes, there was some talk about that, and it's happening more over in Europe. They're not allowed
exactly
to do
right.
it here. And so what the Americans are doing over here is they have ships out on international waters, and they're doing it out there on international waters where they cannot be touched by the U.S. government.
And that is so in the Bible. I mean, there's going to be giants again.
That's right.
The Nephilim. So y'all need to
we'll keep an eye out for that.
Yep.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's the problem with cloning and experimenting around with those things.
If, well, you're messing around with God's work, and he's not going to be happy with that.
You got that right. All right, Diane, I'm just about out of time, though. I got to let you go, though. But
there
thanks.
You go. Bye.
Thank
God
you.
Bless.
Thank
Bye.
You for calling tonight. Appreciate it ever so much. Okay, we are just about out of time. We're going to leave you with Lloyd Marcus. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Abe Katzman has written a great new article, and it's based on the great movie It's a Wonderful Life. Okay, because in the It's a Wonderful Life movie, you examine life without George Bailey, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're kind of doing the same thing right now, a world without the United States, right? And we see the results. They are not good. Just like in It's a Wonderful Life, the world without George Bailey was not a nice place to be. All right, so that's Abe Katzman tomorrow. And don't forget to catch Talk to the Experts every Saturday afternoon live at 1 o'clock. Aubrey Kahn's doing a great job of hosting that show, and he's got a great team of experts who will answer any and all questions having to do with the care and ownership of homes and other physical properties, such as commercial properties, right?
Right.
All right. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Please stick around for another 3 hours of Mark Walters, Armed American Radio. That will be time better spent than listening to those yo-yos, the Democrat debate tonight, right?
Right? Yo-yos.
Yo-yos. That's right. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for us. So here we go with Lloyd Marcus. And once again, this is from his great CD, God, Country, and Love. I hope you like this tune. We haven't played it for you before, but I think it'll be a good tune for. Anyway, night, everybody.
Good night.
This morning, what did I see? Big old sun grinning back at me. An eagle was flying in a sky so blue. It gave me directions, then I came back for you. Come on now, let's take it to the next level. That's where I want to be. Let's take it to the next level, baby. As long as
to keep it positive and clean. Come on now, let's take it to the next level. That's where I want to be. Come on, baby, let's take it to the next level, baby. Up where the air is free.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service